welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed, 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla, and happy birthday to Danny Bonaduce.
Oh, oh, thank you. I was going to wait. All right.
Yeah. I stole your birthday thunder.
I was going to do that good morning and good birthday to Danny Bonaduce.
I'll make you a deal. Why don't you go ahead and say good morning and happy birthday, and then that be the last of it.
Really?
Oh, you're not feeling it today?
No, I'm not. That's not that I'm not feeling it. It's just my life worked out so much better than I ever thought it would. You're not going to make a particular Monday better for me. You know what I mean? I feel the same way about, like, somebody, you know how you don't like the lotto? I don't play the lotto because I won it twice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was a kid star. Now I'm not a Carolla show. Make, you know, some pretty good change for kidding with my friends. I'm set. So why wait, you know? It's another very special Monday to me.
It's a good way to go through life.
And I mean it sincerely. It's not a way I don't want to grow older. I'm 48 today, and damn if I ain't still 48, if I ain't 8% body fat. Now, I'm good at growing old. I just want to waste a good show on my birthday.
The we don't know if it's going to be good, judging by most Mondays.
Yeah, but
it'll be about a 5.5.
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. What's going on?
You probably write me right off the bat, you're starting with me? All right, well, first of all, there's the kind of good news and the bad news. We all know that I really like that girl, Amy, right?
Right.
School teacher. Broke up with her.
Really?
And for the most random and silly of reasons, and a reason I would normally like. My wife even said, you finally got what you wanted, and now you don't want it. I was always hurt that Gretchen would never get jealous about anything ever. Amy, on the other hand, is jealous of, let's say, Teresa, but which would be reasonable. I mean, not because of our relationship, but she does have the right parts. If I glanced at Big Brian an extra second longer than I needed to, she'd want to know what the hell is going on right now, mister.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Just, I mean, I would say to the point of insanity, but I don't want to slander her or be mean to her because I really like her. But I mean, it got crazy.
You tell her you're checking your makeup in the reflection of his scalp.
But the weird thing is, the really weird
thing. You're losing your hair?
She, and this is kind of weird to just start right off the bat with, her departing salvo, if you will. And I'm not really sure who broke up with who because nothing happened. We went to a club where there was a bachelor party or bachelorette party. And by the time we said goodnight to these people who were our friends and everything was normal and got to the front door of said same club, maybe 20 feet further away than we had just said goodnight with big smiles on our faces, she then went crazy about the bachelorettes thinking they could touch me and who they and you let them, you didn't tell them who I was. I go, dude, I'm wearing your name on my arm.
What kind of club?
This is called a Powerhouse. It's a little dive bar. I know these people. It
wasn't a strip club.
No, God, no. Like they were at Chateau Marmont, and there were a couple of the people that work on my show, bosses of mine, and had a girlfriend that was getting married. Hot, by the way. I'll just throw that in.
Boss
travels in hot chicks.
Did this turn into a scene, a fight scene out at the
Powerhouse? No, I will never, ever, ever, ever let anything like that happen. That's why I drink, like, anything I drink in a bar, I drink in the can, even if it's hot.
Right.
Because they'll take a picture of me with a drink in my hand and say, Danny's at a bar. Now, I could fill that Coke can with vodka if I wanted to. But still, that's kind of off the bat. I don't. But still, I don't make scenes in bars because they'll blow it up. And, you know, my reputation as, I believe I'm doing a fine job here. But I think every day my reputation hangs by a thread. One little chip at it, and the sword of Damocles could come right down.
So you and Amy were living together.
Yeah.
And so the fight comes because she was jealous. Bachelorette, by the way, bachelorette parties, this, if I ever wrote a book on, you know, how to get laid, I would say go to Vegas, go find a bachelorette party.
Oh, yeah.
Send over a round of drinks.
I got
some. And it'll be the best $30 you've ever spent.
If they can take their penis lollipops out of their mouth.
Right.
Was so hip to it, she put her hand in Amy's top. And I went, wow, that's really cool. And Amy didn't seem to get mad. Then she kind of just scratched me, if you will. She went like, kind of like that on my who's it.
Right.
And Amy again seemed to like kind of, she didn't think it was as funny as before. But I really don't know. She was in a great mood till he hit the door. And at the door, it's like she was holding it back the whole time. And I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so, I've had that situation. Maybe we all have where you've been at a party and the person's been sitting on some anger for 3 hours.
Sure.
You've been drinking and socializing and not aware that that person's been sitting on the anger.
Right.
And then when her ass hits the passenger seat of the car and the door closes, the door closing is like the firing of a starter's pistol.
Uh-oh.
That's when it begins. It's like, kunk. Then they look at you and they unleash 3 hours worth of built up.
Right.
Whatever. And you're like, huh? What? I got a buzz. I got a hard on. I don't know what's going on. I thought we're having a good time.
This is what you woke me up for.
Mine's even actually a little more odd than that because I don't have a buzz of any kind. And ended up, even though I had taken one, remember you gave me an antabuse of the day? I took another one right there on the spot because she said, you're further because are you drinking somehow? Are you sneaking drink? I just bumped another antabuse. Sorry. I don't know what you're talking about, honey.
So
she goes, I don't know exactly how this happened, if I was out or she slept, but her parting salvo was to delete my MySpace.
Yeah.
Like it never existed.
Started getting a lot of messages yesterday.
Did you know, so did my wife.
Where's Danny's MySpace?
And 22,000 people that I say, hey, here's what's coming up on the Adam Carolla Show. Here's where I'll be. Here's where I'm doing comedy dates. That's all gone like it never existed.
And Adam.
And you can't get it back.
Adam, I thought, what?
You can't get
drama?
It back.
No, I can't get it back.
Yeah, I was surprised that there'd be any drama in Danny's life.
Me too. I was shocked as hell.
So, wow, you
but here's the good
back.
News.
Yeah.
There was part
Can
of me.
Can you back up a MySpace page?
I don't know. I didn't even know how to do it in the first place. I emailed Teresa this morning and said, hey, if I come there early, can you help me?
Yeah.
But actually, I forgot. Todd's doing the phones now, and he helped me in the first place, so maybe right after the show he can help me out.
Teddy? I think he'll Teddy Todd.
Did
I'm
I
say
sure. Todd? I'm sorry, Teddy. He can help me out, and then I'll put a link on our on AdamCarolla.com saying if you're one of the 22,000 people Amy dumped, please contact Danny Atwin, whatever my new MySpace is, and I'll put up new pictures of my family because they're all gone too.
Now, when she left, was this like a middle of the night, I'm taking my stuff and leaving? Or was it a calm, this isn't working out?
Don't no, you, I went she home. She has a place, right?
Yes, I kept it. I paid the rent on it, so it stayed there.
Right.
Because it was only, it's like $800 a month. That's why I couldn't just go stay there. Imagine in Los Feliz, a couple blocks from my house, the size of an apartment that's $800 a month.
Oh, my God.
It was so hot, and she had no windows. They nailed the windows shut for some reason.
Wow. That sounds luxurious compared
to
my...
So I literally moved out to a place, the Palazzo, which is... I didn't want to move any furniture from my house because houses don't sell nearly as well unfurnished.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So for an 800-square-foot, one-bedroom apartment, completely furnished, but with a plasma TV and it's all nice and stuff, 4 G's a month.
Yeah.
That's what you're paying?
Yeah. So I was hoping my house would be sold by the end of my 3 month stay.
Yeah.
And then I'd go buy a nice big house because we have almost all my life savings in that house.
Yeah.
Remember they put on TMZ, they put my net worth in cash at $965,000. Well, that house, we put over $2 million cash on. And then put $100,000 into it to finish with the theaters. It's worth almost $5 million.
So you're not.
So
what
I'm
going to
get a huge chunk of change on
right
that house.
Right now, not liquid.
How's the house?
No, I'm liquid. I got almost $1 million liquid.
How's the really? How's the house going in the selling department? By the way,
I don't know. We just started. I think it's an iffy time to be selling a house. But for me to get this all over and done with, and have Gretchen and I, who I love dearly, completely separated financially. I know I owe her 16 G's a month, and that's it. I don't have to pay any electricity bills in a house I don't live in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to pay for groceries for children I only have 20% custody of. Gretchen hasn't turned off a light since 1991, and we have chandeliers in, you know, it's a giant, it's a castle.
Yes.
And nobody turns off any lights. You can see this house from my brother, who's, I was just telling Amy this, his deal with money is almost an illness, Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
He's just so cheap. Mm-hmm. It's like a sickness. And he would come in every night. He stayed for 3 days. And every night he would tell us, or leave a note in the morning, how many lights he counted on when he got home.
Mm-hmm.
And it was usually, but he'd count a light on a chandelier counted as one.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he would write often, 75 lights were on when I got home.
Yes.
And I said, you know, I don't want to do that to my account. I won't do that. That's not fair to me.
Yes.
So let's just get this done. And the same, you know, the same thing with Amy. So, and I want to be your friend. I want to be everybody's friend. But it was weird that she would take such a shot when I didn't do anything. And she admitted, like, the next day, you don't really do anything. I get so jealous. I'm going to work on that. I'm sorry. And I like jealousy in a woman. I think it's a sign that you really like me.
Yeah.
She didn't have to do, you know, she didn't have to, in a way, I write all those guys on MySpace. I'm in contact with them. I don't just tell them what I'm doing. If I see a picture of somebody that makes me think of anything I write that guy or girl personally saying, yeah, well, this is what I did on Thursday, and what are you doing? Oh, your husband does this. That's neat. My friend Adam can do that. Teresa's like this. I love my MySpace. And that was like, that was a mean shot, I thought, on your way out the door.
Well, so that was what, Saturday?
Saturday night.
Yes.
The bachelorette party was Friday night, and this went into Saturday morning, or this was Saturday night and went into yesterday?
I think Saturday and went into yesterday, but mm-hmm. I will tell you something I have found from the other times, and you probably know this too, although in reverse from Love Lines was at night. I don't think it'll be any different. By Wednesday, if you're working two full-time jobs, I have found that I'm pretty unaware of what day it is.
Yes.
By Wednesday, I'm going, you know, tomorrow on Friday, or... yesterday on Monday, because you forget, because a one-day stops, the Adam Carolla show stops, I have an hour down, and then I do this TV show, or I used to do the other half, and by Wednesday or Thursday, I really wouldn't be sure, A, what day it was, or B, what stories I had told on what show.
I worked, assume all of them on both shows, and number one, but I used to work Sunday. I worked for 10 years on started Sunday nights.
Right, that's right.
So Love Line was Sunday through Thursday, which was weird. It's just the way it worked. It didn't bother me that much. It was nice on Fridays. I didn't have to work Friday nights. I always had my weekends. But Sunday always felt like Monday. The week felt right. Like it began Sunday night for me. And then we used to tape Love Line, the TV show, and the man show, by the way, on Fridays. So it was always a kind of a long week because I work Sunday through Friday. But yeah, it's what the day feels like. It's not what it is. Like on 3-day weekends, Tuesday feels like Monday.
Right.
Yeah. And if you work Love Lines, Sunday night feels like Monday. Because that's when you go back to work.
Absolutely.
Go back to work just feels like Monday.
Right. And you get so confused. And if people aren't doing it with you, they think there's something wrong with you, especially if you're me. If you're positive it's Wednesday when it's only Tuesday because you've worked... I've had two 21-hour days since starting the TV show.
Well,
did Tom Likas this thing from the Playboy Mansion. I did this.
On Friday.
Yeah, I did this, Likas, and then shot the TV show till midnight.
Is back to Amy for a second. Yeah. Is this? Have you spoken to Amy?
Yeah. Yeah,
I have. And this is it?
Oh, I don't know that this is it. I know that I'm officially single, and so is she.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see her again sometime. That'd be soon, but there are some real things... Both of us, because I'm going to be the last guy to say that I'm without sin on this. But nobody cheated. Nobody did anything bad.
Right.
It was just everybody was... Okay, I'll go with everybody because it's easier. Everybody was jealous all the time to the point of madness. And when I fight, I don't mind. It's like, let's fight. Yeah. Let's call each other some names right on. I've got a smile on my face. Hey, you bitch, I'm having a good old time. 3 words in, her arguments end in, that's it, I'm leaving. And it's no fun.
Right.
It's just, so fun to fight.
Well, I have a couple of thoughts. One is...
Don't talk me out of being single for at least 3 months, okay? Thank you.
I won't. I'm jealous.
Me too. I can't believe I want my girl and everything, but I'm totally single
now. I'm very looking forward to hearing your thoughts, but should we hear them when we come back?
Well, I'll tell you what...
And Tommy's going to help me with MySpace, right, Tom?
Teddy.
We might...
Teddy.
Sorry. It was Todd. 10 minutes ago.
Tammy.
Yeah, he's like my best friend on my old MySpace. When I had one, I would have known who he was when my MySpace was gone, but it's okay.
Let me see. I want to hear from you guys, actually, because, you know, this is an interesting piece of cyber espionage. You know, in the past, you just take the guy's clothes and you burn them.
This is the new thing now. You terrorize people on the World Wide Web.
There's a thing on mine saying, do you want this debugger off? But it comes up so big, it can't be a secret. It's nothing she put on. I can't believe it's so obvious. But it says, do you want to remove debugger? And when I click yes, it freezes my computer.
Well, there's the deleting of people's pages. There's the sending of pictures that are incriminating.
Right.
Yes.
There's the thing they do. They call it. It's illegal. But my old partner used to sell it on her space. The e-tracker or whatever it is, and it will...
Oh, is that illegal?
Yeah.
I didn't know it was illegal.
It was when she was doing it. I don't know. It may have come with, but everything you type or email in or out goes to whoever installed it, goes to their computer.
Yeah.
There was a thing on CNN I thought you'd like about a thing in a car, too.
Well, there's... Oh, you mean the new Nissan?
The one that will tell you where the car has been, how fast it is going,
where
it parked, and for how long it parked there.
Yeah, it's on.
It's
now.
On. Man.
I mean, it's for teenagers. The car thing, but everything is for something.
And it's for adultery.
It all ends up starting to catch speeders or to catch teenagers, and what it ends up doing is catching dad. who's trying to catch syphilis from the secretary.
Those things that give you the speeding ticket and then send the picture in the mail to your house. If that chick in the passenger seat ain't your wife, they don't want to give you a ticket. They want part of your alimony. By the way, I'll spit this out. Boy, Adam decides exactly what it is he's going to go on this one. Our phone number is 1-866-901-ADAM. That's 1-866-901-ADAM. Which way are you going to go on this, boss?
I think I'm just looking for good old-fashioned, you broke up and somebody broke something up of yours.
Peed on your leather seats.
Deleted your MySpace page.
Yeah, just what did they do? Sometimes, there's been horrible stories where people do things to pets.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Like kill somebody's
guys
dog?
Will do things.
Guys will do
if
weird
if you're a guy and you have, like, there's a lap dog and they... What the hell are you doing to the dog?
Shaving the dog.
Oh, shaving.
Oh, what the hell are you trying to make him finish?
The point,
you
the
pig,
point,
Brian.
Point is, guys are horrible.
Come on.
Women are evil, too. I want to know what you've done on your way out. Your
I know
parting
some great ones, but I'd like to hear from you, too. And so, one again, it's 1-866-901-ADAM. What was your parting shot on the way out the door? You know, I think I'm safe to say that your friend... Oh, the Dookie Thrower. Like the guy I love now.
Ray.
Ray.
Ray. I'll bet he makes an excellent parting shot when he breaks up with you. That's what we want to hear about. What reminder did you leave that you once existed?
He, he's done significant damage to many, many heart, many a car hood as well. We'll take a quick break. We'll hear your stories next.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew. On the Adam Carolla Show, Dateline, Williamsport, Virginia. After a fight with his girlfriend, a 26-year-old man flipped her car over and smashed the windows with a bulldozer he stole from a demolition site. Definitely not a Jew.
Yeah, good times.
I'm so not alone in the world. Look at the phones.
Yeah, I know. There's not a human being that doesn't have a story about
don't need to move on.
Getting dumped on and then paying revenge. I always thought the best you could do. I don't think you could do much better than this. You know, the idea is, how do you get the person without hurting the person? I mean, you don't want to go to jail for manslaughter.
Yeah. It occurred to me.
I always thought the best thing you could do is all you'd have to do is find one of those guys who drives the septic truck, the truck with the tank on it, the one that goes to construction yards and empties out the porta potties.
Right.
They're pretty much just a big tank and a hose, and they hit one switch and it drains the porta potty, and then they hit the switch the other direction and drains the big tank at the end of the day. If you could just go ahead and get your old lady's car, open that sunroof just about 4 inches, put that hose in there, and just fill that bitch. Just to the point where it was smoothed over like a sidewalk with a trowel on the top. Where maybe carve your initials in with a stick.
Yeah.
Maybe put a little heart with your girlie's name on there. The entire car would be filled.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what you would do at that point with the car. You would open the door, but if you open the door, you would have hundreds of gallons of raw sewage pouring out onto the street, and not just the kind of raw sewage that comes up from the storm drains after Katrina hits, but real pound-for-pound sewage. What would you do? Would you open the door? Would you have the car towed somewhere? The car must weigh an extra 3,000 pounds now.
I would make whatever phone calls I had to make to never even go near that car. There's got to be somebody who would say, yes, for a certain amount of money, I will take care of that. Don't go anywhere near the car. You know, there are people that for a living, it's a job.
Yeah.
Clean up murder scenes.
Right.
That's their job.
Oh, really? They're not in the
private,
police?
They're not. No, they're private companies.
Wow.
Yeah, right?
Honestly, I would rather somebody fill my car with excrement than do some of the more psychologically damaging.
Well,
I'm so psychologically damaged, you could fill me with the septic tank, and I still go, huh, I guess she was mad.
Mike?
I don't care that much.
Mike, what did you do to your girlfriend or your wife? Oh, boy. This was a good one, too.
While we're waiting, hey, Brian, did you get that moment where our boss said, just take out your hose and fill up that bitch? Just I think you need that clip, buddy.
Mike, are you there?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
We were going through a tough time. We lived up in Oregon at the time, and she went to go see her folks in Montana, and she left her cat with me. I ended up tying it up in the backyard to a tree so the coyotes would have a nice feast in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the cat?
When I woke up, the cat was gone.
Oh, there you mean it escaped? You mean gone or escaped?
The coyotes ate it, man. Are you kidding? Miss, what are you, Miss Brightside? You're working on the boss's side?
Maybe it Houdini'd itself out.
Maybe it's a snack treat.
It'd be nice if the wife thought that. And did he tell the wife that? And
that's
yes, guys or just... Women will take things out on items, durable goods. The car's number one. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Anytime you enter a new relationship, Bonaducci, I don't know if you are going to go on with Amy or not. If you start a new relationship...
Not after the show today. There'll be someone today, but then I might get back together with her.
Well, here's what I'm going to need you to do.
Okay.
I'm going to need you to go down to Big Five, yep. And I'm going to need you to get a baseball mitt.
I really do like Sports Chalet, does it matter?
Oh, yeah. Sports Chalet. Take it to the limit. Yeah, yeah. Go down to Sports Chalet and get yourself a baseball mitt. Then take that baseball mitt and dump a bunch of motor oil on it and run over it in your car a few times and really work it in.
Right.
Then I want you to take a Sharpie and write "to the son I never had" on the thumb part. And then I want you to work that in a little more. Then when you show up to your new relationship, whenever it's time to move in, I want you to pull that out of a Crown Royal sack. And I want you to say to your lady, you know what? This is to the new woman, the new Bonaducci. I've got money. I've got fame. I've got everything I need, but there's one thing that can never be replaced. Dave Mann, Reuben Kincaid. He gave me this mitt when I was 9. And we were going through some troubles. I was having a tough time at home. My dad was very violent. My mom couldn't control him. Dave took me under his wing. We played catch. He gave me this mitt when I was 9 years old. And, you know.
I went, you have it.
Dave's getting a, no.
Oh, no.
Dave's
no.
getting a little bit older. And this, to me, this is my most cherished possession. Uh-huh. Because cars, Harleys, houses, all things I can get with money.
I can replace
this
it.
Can never be replaced.
Yeah.
Now, meanwhile, it's You're 3 weeks old, and it costs $28 over the Sports Chalet. And that's it. And you just say, now, honey, this is it. This is me. This is living and breathing. It has my,
this is my soul.
It has my blood coursing through the veins of this mitt.
Right.
And you put it somewhere. Then you do whatever you do. Look, if things work out, fantastic. But if you get busted with another tranny, she'll go straight for the $28 mitt that's a month old, and she'll throw it in the fireplace. She'll tear it apart.
I still didn't see it coming. I'm the king of this stuff, and you went twice on me when I was positive.
Yeah.
The first one is, it's the new girl you don't give anything about except you want to get in her pants in my world. So you give her your prized possession, and she thinks you're in love with her, so you get to have sex with her. But that's not where girl is going.
Mm-hmm.
So then you go, okay, why am I giving her the mitt? Oh, I get it. I get what I'm doing here. I'm giving her the mitt so when she really pisses me off, I'll take it casually and put it somewhere and then just casually one day ask, hey, where's that mitt from Dave? I really feel like holding it.
Mm-hmm.
She will have misplaced it.
Mm-hmm.
And that way I will now bury her for my heart and soul.
It'll still be used for that.
Yeah, that's not bad. Yeah. But... Oh, setting it up in advance.
Yeah, you have to have that.
Nothing to me. You're brilliant, but I have one question.
Hmm.
How will I recognize a mitt when I see one?
Ask somebody at the Sports Chalet.
That's
take you to the mitts.
They'll take you to the minutes. I mean, the limit. let's see. Wife forged his name and turned his whatever. Ah, I like this one. It's old-fashioned. Very basic. John? John from Portland?
Yeah, it's John.
What'd you do to the wife?
Well, it wasn't a wife. It was actually a girlfriend of about 4 years. We were at a party together, and she got all drunk and belligerent and told me that it was over and then happened to pass out on the couch, so I took a big old squatter in her purse.
Nice!
Mm-hmm. Now, was this a large handbag or a clutch?
Mm-hmm. It was a handbag.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Big old squatter right on top of her wallet. Closed it up, set it on the floor next to her. She was passed out on the couch and left.
Louis Crepon. And that's, you know, it's...
gooey.
It's effective. It's simple. It sends the message.
It sends a message. I have no dignity or grace.
Mm.
And think less of you.
And
I'm the lowest form of life, and I look down on you. That's what it says.
I would have picked it up on her face, but no one would let me.
Did you take a...
I know chicks that would.
Did you take a... did you guys break up after that?
Yeah, I never talked to her again.
Did she get in touch with you?
I heard from her, but I never talked to her after that.
And are you currently in a relationship, John?
No, I'm not.
Shocking.
Do you look for a girl with a particular kind of look or just a particular kind of purse?
Either way, it goes for me.
Thank you.
Here's the problem.
That's good for me.
The reason I'll never crap in anyone's purse is because I may like it.
Right.
And it may become a, you know, I may be squatting on her purse thinking, hey, not bad.
Spanky ham.
Yeah. Beats that cold, hard toilet seat I hit.
This is so confusing. I mean, this confounds me because women, we just want to make you think that we're so happy without you and we'll post pictures with a fake boyfriend on our MySpace.
Right.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I've never been here. Either do any of my representatives, families, or sponsors. Goodbye.
I can't understand why you'd want to do something like poop in someone's purse.
Well,
that's making yourself look like a douche.
But you guys, see, what you guys are looking for is long-term gratification and satisfaction.
Much
we
better.
Want it this minute.
Right, you have heard
we need it now.
That the best revenge is living well.
Yes, yeah,
correct.
Right.
We've heard that the best revenge is a dump in the Prada.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mike?
The devil wears Prada in her purse.
Mike from Seattle Way.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's happening, Mike?
What's up, buddy?
Oh, man, dude, let me tell you. I was with this one chick, and, you know, she liked to mess around with girls. I was all good with that.
That's close.
And, one day she came home, and she just had hickeys all over her body. And I don't know, I just didn't feel it. So we had a talk a few days later, and I broke up with her. And so we went our separate ways. You know, I ended up hooking up with this other girl I knew. And I guess she caught wind of it, and she got hella pissed. But
hella.
Where are you from?
1989? 1990?
Did you actually put a quarter in the thing?
What are the roaming charges when you're calling from the
90s? She's hella pissed, and then what happens?
Oh, man.
She goes to your helipad, and wait a minute.
She got aggro.
And no, she went over to her pad.
Mm-hmm.
And the upstairs neighbor has a video camera out over to the parking lot, and it picked up her coming up to my car with this huge old knife. And she just stabbed it right in my windshield.
She stabbed your car?
Yeah. Oh, man, dude.
That's not that rare.
I understand taking a baseball bat to your car, but a knife and stabbing your car, that's a crazy gal you got there.
That's
yeah,
kind of
she's
a good
pretty, pretty spunky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's see how you said spunky. Can I ask you something? Did you hate her at this time, or did you still kind of like her?
Well, I had a lot of feelings for her, but I was pretty pissed.
Okay, the reason I ask is because if I still liked a girl, I just thought it wasn't working out well, and she came over and put a big knife in the hood of my car, I'd like her again.
Hey, Mike.
I'm serious. Yeah. I'd go, that girl really digs me, and she's willing to go the distance. I'd like her again.
What kind of car did she stab of yours?
Oh, yeah, this woman.
Oh, I just bought a brand new Jeep Cherokee.
Mm.
That's and, funny. Just had
breaks my heart when American car gets stabbed, you know?
Yeah.
Swedish car, no big deal.
Right.
You know what
Japanese,
happens?
Japanese, German car.
I hope I get the right country.
Don't stab one of those Mexican cars like a Festiva.
You know what I hate?
They'll come back at you.
You know what I
They'll
hate?
Cut you right back.
About stabbing a Swedish car, and if I get this right, this might be a decent joke.
Yeah.
The way they sob.
Mm-hmm.
Am I in the right country?
Yes,
right
two ways.
Not a bad job.
That's right.
Thank you.
That's right.
no rim shot even at all.
No, and you don't know if your country's right. You just want to set up, I might suck in advance. I just wanted to give you that.
I will put that disclaimer in front of almost everything I say.
May I make a prediction, though, about Danny and Amy?
You may.
I feel that they really love each other.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Danny's a little tired from working on both shows.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe nerves.
Happens.
Yeah. You know, I think that they love each other and they're going to get back together. They just had a row.
Would not be surprised. Mm-hmm. Would not be surprised at all. But what this does, and it's unfortunate because she's listening. She just texts me and now we'll know my motivation. But you hold anything back on this show, the way I work anyway.
Yes.
If you hold anything back, I'm not doing my job. Here's what I think will happen if I can manipulate it well enough. I will be so crushed that she did this. And there were a couple other minor things she did on her way out the door.
Right.
That I will say, you know what, maybe we need to step back. That's why I paid the rent on your apartment, so you have a place to go. Why don't we start dating again?
Well, that was the advice then I gave her yesterday when she called me in tears.
She called me too?
She called my wife. You don't get involved.
She's a sweet girl, and she called me in tears. And it's in the circle of privacy what she said, but I'll just say that I'm sitting down to have brunch with my boyfriend. I got the call, and I just, you know, I feel for her because she's just a kid, and she's very upset, and she very much loves Danny. And I didn't know what to do other than to just be a shoulder to cry on and to tell her, why don't you go back to your place, get a little space, let a little time pass. Don't engage with Danny right now when he's volatile. And then, you know, think how things are going to feel.
Wait, I came out volatile in this conversation? I did?
Things are charged.
Agreed. We need to take a break. I want to continue 8669. I want to add them with these calls. We have quite a few. We have...
How about calling your coworkers an ex-wife as one?
She did that out of love. Was trying to protect...
Oh, really? I have some thoughts on this debacle as well. So we'll continue with your horror stories, and we have a few good ones lined up, and also I'll weigh in on this, Amy.
1-866-901-ADAM.
A partridge in pain.
Tyra wants to know, have you ever seen a partridge in pain?
A partridge in pain.
Yeah, she blows hard every day.
Tyra, I realized she was a colossal blowhard when she did the whole I'm retiring my angel wings episode.
Oh, yeah.
Well, first off, retiring from modeling is really not retiring from anything. It's just people still take your pictures. You still get paid. You still walk around in a bikini, do you not? What is the big deal? Like, as long as you look hot and as long as people take pictures of you, you're still a model as far as I can tell. But she did a whole thing where her angel wings sort of ascended up into heaven. They tied fishing string to them, and she said goodbye to her angel wings, her Victoria's Secret angel wings. It was an entire episode, 1 hour of people just remembering her and remembering what a great and awesome model she was and how she blazed the trail for other people of color.
Of course.
I love every single, you know, the super blow. There's two super blowhardy model moves. One is they didn't get into modeling. Somebody signed them up.
Right. Yeah, they wanted to go to college because, to be a doctor.
Yeah, they were pre-med, even though they dropped out of the ninth grade to do coke in Europe with Arab guys. But they never wanted to be a model because if you admit you want to be a model, that's a weird thing. You see, if you say you're the world's funniest guy, people say, oh, shut up, blowhard. But every single stand-up comedian obviously thought they were funny and went up on stage and told a joke at some point.
Right.
That we accept. But if you look in the mirror when you're 15 and go, wow, I'm hot, then you're somehow a pompous ass. So every single model tells a story about a friend of theirs signing them up for some sort of model competition, or the one I like even better, they accompanied a friend of theirs to some modeling, whatever they were doing, and the guy, instead of signing up the friend, looked next to them and said, ah, I want to sign you up. Here's the thing, though. If you don't want to do something, if you're really pre-med and you really want to go into work with animals and be a veterinarian, you don't do it. Do you know what I mean? I mean, if my buddy says, hey, man, I want to go to... Yeah, it's very interesting, too. No one ever says this about signing up for the military. No one says, oh, I was driving my buddy down to enlist, and then the guy looked at me and he signed me up, because that makes you a coward versus a narcissist if you went and got your own modeling gig. But here's the deal. If there's something you don't want to do, if my buddy says, hey, give me a ride to the recruitment place, I want to enlist in the I want to enlist in the Marines, I want to be a grunt, I want to go to Iraq, and I'm standing outside and the guy says, hey, how about you? You want to go to Iraq? I go, no, I'm fine here. Thanks, buddy. That's what they would say if they didn't want to model, if they wanted to keep going to school. But no, they jump on it. They act like they just get sucked into modeling. Yeah. As a matter of fact, here's how it is. Not only am I not a narcissist, not only did I not sign myself up, but I am so hot that I was sucked into this against my will.
Right.
I didn't even want to model. I had to. So, A, you get to tell the story about how you never wanted to model. B, you get to tell the story about how when you started modeling, nobody looked like me.
Right.
Oh, they were all blonde and beautiful. There were no, there. You know, I'm exotic. There was nobody who looked like me. That's the model. That's the other model story. No, that models didn't look like me. Everyone told me my nose was too long, or I was too tall, or I was too dark complexion. So they tell that whole story, and then they just blow and blow and blow, and oh, I don't know what it is.
There's a reverse of that, you know.
Hmm.
And that is people like me, and I am such a narcissist that I actually thought too highly of myself to do this. But most people that have been in the position that I've been say something like this. Like if you talk to who's the brunette from Three's Company? Joyce DeWitt.
Mm-hmm.
That she will hear you straight in the face with a serious expression say, and that's when I decided to take a break from show business.
Right.
You didn't take a break. You couldn't get a job on Love Boat, bitch.
It was 39 years ago.
I never once said I took a break. I said I couldn't get a job. I couldn't get arrested. And then I got arrested, and then I got hot.
Well, I've been taking a 30-year break from modeling.
Tyson?
Yeah.
What is your story, your ugly breakup story?
Well, about 5 or 6 years ago, a buddy of mine confided in me that my girlfriend might have cheated on me and that my kid might not be mine.
Oh.
So, yeah, so I went behind her back and had a paternity test done. And
how did you do that? Take some DNA, get her toothbrush or something?
He's fallen off.
Oh, damn.
He was afraid.
Damn.
That was a good story.
It's an uncomfortable conversation and one I would never have.
Me either.
I would never tell somebody, no matter how much I thought their kid wasn't their kid. If you told me my kid wasn't my kid, did I want to know? I would say no. I would size up the family and I would say, look, like here's an interesting, well, hell, let me just talk to James and I'll tell you what I think about that. James?
Yes.
What's your story?
I was in U.S. Navy, stationed in Pearl Harbor for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And just about 3 months before I got out, we had gone out to sea, and something on the boat had broken. I don't remember what it was. And we came back in about 2 days early.
Mm.
And we were supposed to go back out. Our leading petty officer told us, go ahead, go home, we'll give you a call if we go back out.
Mm-hmm.
So I go on home, open the door. Okay, well, she's still asleep. I go upstairs, there's another man in my bed.
You've mentioned this is often a problem in the military.
Bad times. Yeah, and the thing about the military is obviously there's cheating is rampant because not only are people young, and usually semi-uneducated. I mean, people, if you're married and you're in the military, there's a good chance you're married at 19.
Right.
Then you mix that with people leaving for 6 months at a time. Leaving for 6 months when you're 40, you can do. Leaving for 6 months when you're 19, that's 5 years.
I'm 48, and I can't leave all day.
Yeah, I mean, could you imagine, imagine when you were 18, 19, 20, what 6 months felt like?
Well, I will tell you in all sincerity, the only time I've ever been away from sex and people I love, and that was the big thing for me, to my surprise, wondering what people I love were doing, was rehab. Went on to rehab for 30 days, and I was 35, maybe even 40 when I went.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't bear it. The emotional stress of what are they doing while I'm here? Mm-hmm. Are they having fun? Are they laughing? Is life better without me? Which, by the way, it turned out to be yes.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it was almost, the pain of that was unbearable.
Yeah, so
imagine being a kid.
Yeah, and also the thing about cheating is we're not always sure of everyone's schedule. And the idea of cheating while your husband or wife is working down the street, across the city, down the block, that doesn't make people comfortable. If you said to most couples, hey, this person's going to be gone for 4 months, they'll be out at sea for 4 months, it would make it quite a bit easier for even the couple that wasn't thinking about cheating.
Yeah.
Don't you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it is, It is sad, but it's true. There's that sort of thing where, you know, we always go like, why do celebrities cheat? Well, when most guys...
Because they can.
When most guys travel, they don't have hot chicks throwing themselves at them.
I have heard this more than once. A man is only as faithful as his opportunities. And celebrities have every single opportunity.
Imagine a celebrity in the Navy.
Wait a second.
The YMCA?
Did Elvis join the Army at some point?
Yes. Talk about a woman in every port, though. Mm-hmm. It's almost expected of the guy, and you almost want to turn a blind eye to him. He's serving his country. He's going to come home, hopefully disease-free. Mm-hmm. But if a woman cheats on a man who's risking his life in Iraq, she becomes the scum of the earth. And vice versa. Conversely, there are a lot of women in the service now. Oh. Conversely, you cheat on anybody who's got an 80-pound rucksack on his back in 115-degree weather, and people shoot at you, and children throw explosives at you, and the person you love more than life itself is at home with your buddy. Mm. That should be capital punishment, in my opinion.
Well, a different topic for a different day, but I will just pose it hypothetically. What percentage of the guys that were killed, not only in Iraq, but go back to hell, Vietnam, or World War II, or any war, there's going to be cheating. Yeah. When somebody says to a 19-year-old girl, I mean, especially, we look at it, it's a different time, but you're 20, you know, we're talking about World War II, you're talking about 17 and 18-year-old brides. Right. And guys shipping out to Europe for 3-4 years and not knowing if they're ever coming back, you tell some 17-and-a-half-year-old chick to hold tight for 5 years. No way. So what percentage of them cheated on guys that never came back? And imagine carrying that around in your liver for the next 60 years. You know what I mean?
Would that kill you?
I would bother me greatly if I cheated on someone who came home in a body bag. And I will bet that a good 20%.
Fair.
Of the folks, I'm not just talking about what's going on today, but on Vietnam, World War II, whatever. I bet at least 20, then one-fifth of those people were carrying on with somebody and realized when their guy came home in a coffin with a flag draped on.
I agree with you 1,000%, except for one thing, and maybe this is my horrible warped way of thinking. If I cheated on my girl or guy, whatever it is serving his country, and he came home, I don't know if I could live with it. But if he came home dead, I think, well, he was never going to get any anyway.
That's right.
He was never going to know. It's probably, you know, I don't want him to be dead, but if I had to cheat, I'll be able to live a little easier since he was never really coming home to me anyway. The enemy got him.
And would toss him one last mercy at.
I'd do my best, yeah.
From the grave.
If rigor mortis had set in the right spots, yeah.
From the other side. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. T.
Yes.
News, what's coming up in it?
Well, there was an explosion of violence at a karaoke bar. What was the song? What was the problem?
Man Eater, I Pray. Try to figure out that song. All right, news next. Yes, Mike.
What's going on, Ace Man? How you doing?
Good. How's that working out? You're sleeping with someone whose husband is in Iraq right now?
Yeah, I got a buddy of mine who works at Walmart, and he was telling me about the whole situation and whatnot. So he hooked us up, and of course, you know, an A-plus on that. But, you know, there's a few things that I had to help her out on. She didn't know how to give oral very well, so... Wow. I put her on that.
So you're doing your civic duty stateside. Yeah.
But isn't she going to be curious? Isn't he going to be curious when he comes home how his wife's skills improve?
Well, there's another thing about that too is that like every time he comes back, she has him tested. And last time he came back, he tested positive for gonorrhea.
Oh. Well, it's on.
So that just gave her more incentive to come towards, you know, my way. So
not if he was actually stationed in Ghana. Then it's an automatic.
Well, what happened?
Thank you. You're very sweet.
Mike's crazed.
I love Mike.
Hey Mike, what if he dies over there in Iraq? Aren't you going to feel a little bit guilty?
Nah, not really.
All right.
Wow. You had me and you lost me, dude.
Oh, if my son comes out like Mike, I will kill myself. I got to say, that's just a horrible job of raising somebody. Maniacal laughter. I'm teaching her how to give oral. And he's cheating too.
Yeah.
Look, there is probably a 32% chance your old lady's going to cheat if you ship off somewhere a million miles away for a year. If you cheated on her earlier, and she found out about it, that now goes from 32% to 102%.
Right.
If you cheat on somebody, whether they know it or not, or whether you admit it or not, or whether it's ever spoken of or not, there's an open door for them to cheat.
Yeah.
They get one.
Right.
Right.
Sad but true. That's just the way it goes. And if you're going to ship out somewhere for a year and you got busted for cheating before you left, or the last time you came home on furlough, you got busted because you caught gonorrhea mysteriously when you're out doing whatever you're supposed to be doing, there's now 100% chance you're going to get cheated on.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there is a tacit understanding that if one cheats, the other gets a freebie.
If, depending on the circumstances, and if, and especially if the person splits for 6 months. Right. All right, T.
Yes.
The news, baby girl.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Television legend Merv Griffin died Friday of prostate cancer. He was 82 years old. He was originally diagnosed back in 1996, but he beat the cancer that time. He was being treated for a reoccurrence when he died. His legacy will no doubt be as the creator of both Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune.
He was...
That's the bankrupt sound from Wheel of Fortune.
He, you know how you know he arrived? This is how you know. Like, you know, people do that thing where they go, oh, he had, you know, he had money because he had this game show and that game show, the other. Here's how I knew the man was loaded. When you start having traveling companions.
Ah.
Yeah.
That means you're loaded. Because when you don't have money, you just travel with your wife or your boyfriend or whatever you are. But when you travel with companions, you're loaded.
You've arrived.
Now, was he gay? Or is he just supposed to be gay?
No, he's gay.
So he's gay. This is how you know you're rich.
I don't believe he was out, but...
He wasn't out.
Sure was.
Oh, he was?
Sure was.
Really?
I know Merv pretty well. He actually...
You mean in his public life?
I was doing a show that he was executive producer of, and he said, how did you make it back from having nothing to having something? And I said, Gretchen took all my money, and she saved it and invested, blah, blah, blah. And he came out of the booth, went up to Gretchen and said, wow, will you invest my money? Which, of course, billions. It was a joke.
Right.
And we were talking, and he said it very casually to me. And on CNN this morning, they said they asked him about being gay, and he said, I'm quarter sexual. Mm-hmm. And they said, what does that mean? And he said, I'll have sex with anything for a quarter.
All right.
That's okay. Pretty out, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, gay or not, let's just say, here's how you know you've arrived. If you're gay and you travel with an elegant woman in, you know, you're in your like 70s and you travel with an elegant looking woman who's in her 40s or 50s who has a lap dog and you introduce her as either your traveling companion or your lady friend, you know you're rich. That's all. I want to get a traveling companion.
Well, I think you should be able to. Can't Jay travel with you, your assistant?
No. T, it's got to be a chick. And it has to be a chick who everyone says is not hot now, but admits she must have been hot in her prime.
Back in her day.
Mm-hmm. That's how it works.
You know, he sold the game shows to Columbia Pictures for $250 million, as well as retaining a percentage in both of them. He turned out to be a very wealthy man.
Yeah, he also had, I don't know. Was there a big deal about 15, 20 years ago where Trump bought something off of him and it turned out to be like a floundering, what was it? I think it must have been a casino in New Jersey. Not New Jersey, but where the hell they gamble on the East Coast?
Atlantic City.
There was some big Atlanta. There was a big thing many years ago between him and Trump in a sort of battle of the moguls. And I can't remember who ended up getting the best of who. First, they thought that Trump got the best of him. And then it turned out that Merv had the last laugh. Anyway, he always seemed, I don't know that much about the guy. Then he had a great vibe. He always seemed like he was in a good mood. Yeah. He never had a puss on. He never looked put off when people put a microphone in his face and asked him for an answer. And for that, he'll be missed.
And I like his answer about the quarter.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good way to put it. Well, Merv was loaded.
Yes.
And it's very likely that a young woman in Seattle was also loaded. By that, I mean drunk. This 21-year-old in Seattle got very violent at a karaoke bar. Here's what happened. And a warning. You and your friends may think it's funny for you to just get up and butcher a song, but every band has some hardcore fans out there.
Mm-hmm.
And to them, butchering their band's song is blasphemy. Last Thursday night, it was karaoke night. The bar was called Changes. And a man decided to sing the Coldplay song Yellow.
Mm.
This is that song.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't heard it before, it's that Coldplay song that sounds like all the other Coldplay songs.
But yeah, except for this one does kick in with this part. I like Coldplay.
I do too. I just can't tell one song from another.
Well, I can't tell most of this song from the other, but this part
is unique.
This part is different. Yeah, and then it goes into this, which sounds like all the rest of them.
Well, this guy Robert was trying to sing this, and I guess he wasn't doing a very good job, according to a 21-year-old named Lindsay Lawrence, who's described as a little hippie girl in the news report from the Seattle Post-Intelligencer.
Yeah. Look, maybe I'm just old-fashioned here, but you shouldn't be singing any karaoke songs past 1997. That's right. Go back to the 60s. Point is,
because they don't have any rabid fans that are going
to... Well, not only that, but I can go into my car, turn on the radio, and listen. You know what I mean? I don't want any Justin Timberlake in my karaoke bar. It's a nostalgia thing.
Right.
And if not nostalgia, I mean, everyone should be singing the songs they remember from high school. However old you are, one day it'll be Coldplay.
Yeah.
But you better be 18 or 19 years old if you're singing Coldplay. I don't want to see any guys 41 singing a Coldplay song.
This came out when I was in high school.
It is, that's right, 29, so just 29. Is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just...
You know what's weird?
It bumps me.
Songs that are currently in the top 40 came out when Amy was in high school.
Well, let me tell you what happened to this guy.
Hmm.
He was singing the Coldplay, and this 21-year-old little hippie girl, as she is described, yelled that he effing sucked. Hmm. Then she attacked. And I mean, she attacked. She threw punches. She kicked and headbutted him. It took four guys, including an off-duty cop, to finally hold her down until the police got her.
Right on.
She was arrested for assault. And
cold
after she...
cock is opening for Coldplay.
After she was arrested, the police found out she also had an outstanding warrant for a theft charge. And she wants you to know that her anger was not fueled by alcohol, but for her love of Coldplay.
I understand completely.
Well, this is a song that you could butcher pretty... Something you could butcher quite easily.
It's difficult. He's singing very high.
Yes, I agree. All right.
You're gay for saying that.
Okay, another potentially stupid-sounding lawsuit involving McDonald's. We all remember the woman who spilled the hot coffee on her lap and sued for millions of dollars.
Actually, did you ever see photographs of that?
Of her legs?
Yeah.
They were burnt.
Bad. I mean, you don't get $80 million, but still, their flesh was, she was 80, and her skin peeled off. It was gross.
Well, here's the latest. Back in 2005, a guy named Jerome Jackson from West Virginia.
Jerome?
It's spelled J-E-R-O-M-Y. Maybe it's Jeremy, and it's just a quirky spelling.
Maybe.
But I'm going to pronounce it Jerome.
That's the,
definitely not a Jew.
I know I've said it, said it 2,000 times, but my greatest pettis peeve, and this is the problem with all you nut jobs, not only spelling your names in a weird way, but making up new names.
Yeah.
We don't know. Is it Jeremy and just another wacky spelling of Jeremy, or is it Jerome? And then it doesn't affect most of your lives until you host a TV show one day that takes phone calls and somebody holds up a cue card and it says, Jerome, line two. And I say, Jerome, line two. And the guy comes on and goes, yeah, it's Jeremy. And then everyone thinks I'm retarded because I can't pronounce the word Jeremy, except for he spelled it in his own way.
I told you when I sign stuff for people and they say to Cindy, I ask, how do you spell it?
How do you spell it?
Did you never get a C-Y-N-D-I-E? Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, Jerome.
My Jerome.
And I would yell at the cue card guy, just write Jeremy if the guy's name is Jeremy. And they would go, but that's the way he spells it. And I would say, I'm not embroidering a Letterman jacket for him. I'm just reading it on the goddamn air. So please don't do that. Do you know how many times I had that conversation? I know teasing or news, but listen. I've now realized if I didn't have the same effing conversation with the same nine people in my life 2,000 times, I'd only need to live till the age of 28.
Right.
I don't have one conversation with people about something. I have the exact same conversation. You know how many conversations I've had with Ozzy about the exact same thing? Do you know how many think about the amount.
Does he know that?
I don't know, because evidently he shakes it off in between conversations. But the retarded guys who work for me, I have the same conversation with them once a week and pitch a fit about the exact same thing every single week, and they brush it off and move ahead. And the 300 Love Line shows I did for MTV, I had that conversation about not writing the person's name on the cue card so I would mispronounce it no less than 15 times, and it never, ever was changed.
Yeah, G-E-O-F-F is not Jeff. It'll never be Jeff.
Ugh. At least that one I learned is a potential Jeff spelling, but the Jerome. All right, sorry, go ahead.
Mr. Jackson.
Mm-hmm, there you go.
Mr. Jackson.
Just think about it. Hold on a second. Hold on. All you guys out there, how good does it feel having somebody have the same conversation with you that they've had multiple, multiple, multiple times? Mustn't that be humiliating? Or are you just so stupid you can take it and you sort of enjoy it? Or does it feel like the first time you're having the conversation?
If you have to have it and they're not being diabolical and trying to drive Adam Carolla specifically crazy, they don't know they've had it 100 times. They don't know when you say Oswaldo, it's 16 inches off center.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, yeah, boss, and then does 12 inches. And you say it again. He says, yeah, boss. And eventually you realize he's not getting it. He doesn't think you're having this conversation for the first time.
I'll tell you what it is. I don't know why. Ozzy craps up a bathroom that couldn't be further away from my bedroom.
Right.
And when I turn the alarm on at the end of the night in my bedroom, a little thing comes on that says the bathroom window is open. That's quite a few feet from where I'm standing, downstairs, down two levels, like in the basement and off to the side. The window's open because what Ozzy does is he S's up the bathroom, then he leaves the window open, then he goes home. Now, I've had the conversation. You open the window. You need to shut the window. I don't go to that part of the house. I don't had that conversation 300 times. He did it on Thursday. And then, of course, Friday night, same thing when I'm hitting the alarm. And you just think to yourself, is this the essence of stupid, or is it F you, or is there nothing that ever makes it onto people's radar dish? And those of you who are getting the exact same conversation from the exact people in your life for the 100th time, could you please go ahead and do something? Damn, Ace, man, you were good at football in high school. Hook some battery cables up to your ears or something. All right, sorry.
Now, there are times you've mentioned that when you have to give people instructions that you don't feel will follow the instructions, you do it as though you're talking to your dog, Molly, or to a child.
I do that to everybody.
Now, Mr. Jackson was in a similar predicament when he was at McDonald's ordering his hamburger, his two-quarter pounders. He did not want cheese. He's allergic to cheese, and he attempted to make it clear.
Well, the good news is there's no cheese in a quarter pounder. That's
there's only a quarter pounder with
dehydrated, soybean oil and stuff like that. There's no dairy in there.
Space-age polymer type cheese.
Yeah.
Well, he bit into his sandwich, and he had a severe allergic reaction. He had to be rushed to the hospital. He was with his mom. And now he and his mom are suing McDonald's for $10 million. According to the lawsuit, Mr. Jackson, who's in his early 20s, was, quote, only moments from death by the time he reached the hospital.
Hold on a second. If you are that allergic to cheese, something as ubiquitous as American cheese, you don't go near McDonald's where half the burgers they sell have cheese on them.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the Big Macs or the quarter pounders, the cheeseburgers, whatever.
Sure.
Half the burgers that leave McDonald's have cheese on them.
Right.
If you're so deathly allergic to cheese that even if your burger had made contact on the same griddle as one of those burgers, you're going to go into anaphylactic shock. You don't go near that place. And the second thing you do when you order, if you are going to if your heart's going to stop when you touch cheese, is every single time you order a hamburger from anywhere, you open the burger up and take a look.
Absolutely. One wonders.
If you're allergic, like the thing we talked about before, kids allergic to peanuts, so nobody had peanuts at school.
Right.
You don't go dancing with Mr. Planters in his top hat and monocle.
That's
You know, hey, see that giant peanut with the monocle and the top hat? I'm allergic. And you would avoid him like the plague.
Right. This morning I discussed this with producer Angie.
Yeah, by the way, a screaming pedophile. By the way, Mr. Planters.
I've heard that, actually.
You see the monocle and the top hat on a big peanut outfit
and dancing
with a kid?
I don't want people after us.
All right.
I was telling
you put a top hat and a monocle on your nut. You're looking for attention. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Sorry, go ahead.
I've lost my will to live. What's next? Amy Winehouse. Let's talk about her. Let me finish this McDonald's story, if anybody cares, by saying that... okay.
No, I care. Go ahead, baby.
It's the show.
All right. Well, he started a lawsuit. McDonald's has offered to pay all his medical bills, but he turned down the offer to sue for 2 counts of negligence, 1 count of intentional infliction of emotional distress, and 1 count of punitive damage. Why is his mother and the friend who was with him, why are they both involved in the lawsuit? Well, they were endangered when they had to rush him to the hospital.
Yeah. I can't stand this. I used to work at a McDonald's. When you make 3,000 Big Macs in an hour and somebody orders a Big Mac with no secret sauce, what you get is an involuntary movement with the secret sauce. You have a caulking gun that has secret sauce in it. And it's like... You can't physically stop your hand from moving because you've done 3,000 of these things. You just have to scrape the crap off. So you order anything at McDonald's without this or with that, it'll have remnants, trace remnants of that on it. Yes, T, sorry.
Singer Amy Winehouse was hospitalized last Wednesday after an alleged 3-day bender. She did not go to rehab. I'll tell you, in fact, where she went. This 3-day bender included the consumption of, allegedly, whiskey, vodka, cocaine, ecstasy, and a horse tranquilizer called ketamine. And
ketamine,
now,
absolutely.
Yeah, now
it's
also...
right into a K-hole.
Is that what a K-hole is?
That's what a K-hole is.
Well, they're also saying heroin now. She's saying...
Can I tell you, as a person who's tried most of those things and some in combination, that person wanted to die in a huge way. I've never heard of anything like that.
She said, according to Britain's News of the World tabloid, it was just crazy, one of the most terrifying moments of my life. I don't know how to explain what happened. I don't really know myself. I can't remember what I looked like. I couldn't recognize myself. It was terrifying. She went on to say, I was so out of control. It just happened. It shocked me. I'm sorry. I just don't know what got into me. I have to sort myself out. Well, you would think she would sort herself out at rehab.
What a shocker, though. Her publicist had mentioned, I saw the story maybe on Friday, she was being hospitalized or whatever for exhaustion.
Right. It's always exhaustion.
Yeah, if you see dehydration or exhaustion, and it's not a coal miner they pulled from the ground after 2 weeks, it's drugs.
Well, what she's going to do now, instead of going to rehab, is she's going to lean on her father for help. She says, quote, he sorts me out when I get self-destructive. I just need to spend time with dad. Rehab is a cop-out.
No. Sticking with their story.
I used to have a t-shirt that said rehab is for quitters. I enjoyed that.
That's cute.
But isn't that the side she said, daddy wants me to go to rehab, and now she's going to lean on daddy? Is that the B-side? She's going to lean on me now? She's done the rehab, now she's going to do the lean on me when you're on daddy?
It's hard because it's part of her act that she's not going to go to rehab. It's her big hit song.
Right.
Now she, it looks as though she really could use rehab.
Just because you could use it doesn't mean you should necessarily go.
Yeah.
What would Hendrix be today if he was alive? Old, and I'd be bummed. I don't want an old Hendrix. I'm very happy he died when he died.
He'd be suing
Same
McDonald's.
With
It'd be very sad.
Janis Joplin, one of my all-time heroes, but she died the way she was supposed to. I don't need a lot of these people growing old and healthy.
Yeah, but I'm not sure if they base their entire existence on what Bonaducci needs them to be doing.
Oh, you'd be wrong then, wouldn't you, Corolla? Because I've got your future all planned out, mister.
Oh, man.
You're going to get in one of your rants, and you're going to close your eyes. And have you ever heard him snort a little bit before he starts being one? He goes, and his head's just going to blow up. That's what I know. And if he outlives his genius-sized brain, if it doesn't explode, I will be vastly disappointed.
Well,
I
mean, it's coming.
Get to it, mister.
It's coming.
I mean, there's going to be a rant about the hospital food and the nurse's shoes.
He'll never actually get to the rant. We'll say the thing that starts the rant, and he'll do the face that goes the eyes, the noise, and then his head will explode.
I've
got to say anything.
I will do a rant about hospital food when we come back.
Oh, really?
You've now challenged me.
Fantastic. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that was kind of the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. CNN.
All right, we'll take ourselves a break. We'll play a spirited round of what can Adam complain about. 866-901-ADAM. You throw it out there. Please challenge me.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear any more Jimmy Kimmels or big boobies or beer.
Yeah, they're obvious. What you're doing is you're trying to go, how can you complain about your best friend and trying to trick him up? Come on, man. It's not even something as easy as puppies.
I think the best one we've ever had was photosynthesis.
Yeah.
Or when Adam has gotten his way. Say that there was a left turn arrow on your street and it's recently been removed. How could he possibly complain about that? It's
right.
His main goal in life to get those removed. That's interesting.
Challenge me. And what do we want to do? What was your challenge? Hospital food?
Yeah.
All right. I don't think I've ever done it on the show, but I will give you a hospital food rant. And then what can Am complain about next? And it is strangling and raping my wife, and I think, please stop growing. The problem is plants are in two modes for me. They're in, hey, why won't you grow? And then they immediately go to, hey, quit growing.
What can't Adam complain about? Find out now at 866-901-ADAM on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, first off, before we went to break, T challenged me to give a complaint or rant about hospital food, and I will... It seems pretty easy because it's horrible. I won't focus on the food. I'll focus on another aspect of it. But let me say this. Is there a place where you pay more and get worse?
You go to a
four-star hotel, you pay through the nose, but you get four-star food. Well, a stay in a hospital room is 10 times as much as the Ritz-Carlton is, and you're eating generic pears that come out of thick corn syrupy sauce. And if you've ever had the beans, you ever have like green beans or something, it's like they just came out of a can. Mm-hmm. Now, they always play that thing where it's like, yeah, his stomach, nothing. I had hand surgery. My stomach is fine. I'm effing hungry, and I'm spending $20,000 a day. Could I get something more than cafeteria or institutional food? They always do that. His stomach. You don't think I could stomach fresh cut green beans?
Right.
Sauteing a little butter? I have to get the canned stuff that tastes like the institutional food? But here's what I was screaming at Drew. I had, I think it was when I had my hernia surgery about two, three years ago. I was in there. And you don't get to eat. They tell you don't eat for 12 hours before you go in because of the anesthesia or whatever right. The deal is. I guess they don't want you crapping yourself when you're on the table. But
that's all I can figure on that one, too. And I've had a lot of surgery, and that's the only thing I can figure is they don't want under anesthesia to lose control of yourself.
No eating 12 hours before you get to the hospital. And then when you're there for an hour or two worth of prep and what have you, well, by the time the procedure's over, you haven't eaten in 17 or 18 hours. Right. It's time to eat. And as a matter of fact, your body probably needs some sustenance at this point for what it's been through. They then give you soda crackers. It's always soda crackers at the thing. Now, I once heard a nutritionist say, ironically, that soda crackers were the worst crackers you could eat. Why? He said they were the worst food ever made, because all saltines or soda crackers are is sodium, salt, try to avoid it, right?
Right.
White flour, shortening, and sugar. This is all that it's made of. The soda cracker, right, the true. Saltine. When you go on a diet, the first thing they do is tell you to cut out the sugar, cut out the fat, cut out the white flour, and back off on the sodium. That's all the soda cracker is. I've never had one outside of the hospital. It shows up when you order chili, but I usually stay away from them. The only time as an adult I've eaten soda crackers was in the hospital, and then... As if you've not been turned into a 9-year-old fast enough, you get the box of fruit punch. You get the little box of punch. You know the last, it's like you're back in grade school and it's nutrition. You're eating, you're drinking, I'm 40 years old, I'm drinking out of a box. and I'm eating soda crackers, and I say, hey, how about we get some wheat thins in here and some cheese, or how about a little OJ, or how about a little whatever? Hell, crack me a Heineken at this point. I'm done. Now, we have a box of something marked as punch, which is something, and by the way, the box of punch, that's just a bunch of corn syrup, tap water, and red dye number 17. There's nothing right. nutritional about the box of punch. I don't know on a nutritional, from a nutritional standpoint, if you could do worse than soda crackers and a box of punch.
Yeah.
If you emptied the entire thing into a blender, mix it up, and tried to sort of, tried to figure out what the nutritional content of this compote was, it would score somewhere around a Jolt in a Snicker bar in terms of nutrition. There's nothing nutrition in it. So nutritionists about it or whatever, making up my own word. The point is give me some real crackers, give me some real juice, give me some real cheese, give me something, and don't worry about my stomach. You weren't operating on that. So, and you gave me 9 cents worth of food. I just spent 20 grand on a procedure. You gave me the food that gets thrown away at restaurants because it gets put out next to the chili bowl or put out next to the bowl of chowder and never even gets opened up and gets tossed. So you gave me expendable food and you gave me the box of generic punch juice. It is literally 9 cents worth of food for my $40,000 procedure. All right, let's move on.
Bell?
Just so you know.
Oh, my bell. Yes.
Stuff. The world is full of it. And one man has a complaint for it all. This is What Can't Adam Complain About?
Yes, Ducci, were saying.
I was just going to say, along with that, because at rehab, we had these incredible French chefs that we had stolen from some of the best restaurants, but an aspirin was $10.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That's like in the hospital.
Yep. Good. So I just wanted to let you know I'm on your team all day today.
And they know you can't bring in your own. Well, Dylan?
Yes.
What do you got for me? What can I complain about?
How could you complain about wearing sweatpants at a strip club?
All right. I'm going to do my best. Loose-fitting, billowy clothes, best thing to wear at a strip club. You don't want to wear the super denim shiny jeans with two pair of underpants. That's no good unless you have a seepage problem and you need a little kitty litter down the front of the shorts. But the problem with sweatpants, and there's a class action lawsuit I'm working on with this. As I've said many times, sweatpants do not come with a back pocket, and they do not come with zippers on the side pockets. They come with just pockets on the side. You slide in your wallet, you slide in your cell phone, then you put your legs up over your head, and you get yourself a nice lap dance for 6 hours while you sip Courvoisier, and what happens when you get back to the hotel or you get back home? Well, you're there, but your wallet and your cell phone are in the champagne room. Now you must go retrieve it, or worse yet, it shows up. That's right. Some good Samaritan from the strip club has delivered it to your house or sent it to your house, and the old lady gets to the mail first. And when your cell phone smells like patchouli oil and is covered in stripper glitter, that is a very, very bad sign. She's not going to buy that you were volunteering at the overnight mission. So, sweatpants, great on the groin, bad on the wallet, bad on the cell phone. Sweatpants should all have a back pocket with a Velcro flap and have zippers on the side. They're super shallow. Everything is made, you don't realize it, but your wallet is not made of rubber. It's made of smooth leather or eel skin or snake skin, and it will go sailing right into the arms of a stripper. And let me tell you something else. Strippers, not known for their honesty. If you get that wallet back, it's going to be filled with air, my friend.
Just so you know, sometimes we are filled with actual pearls of wisdom and stuff like that that are big and monumentous. The best advice I ever got from Carolla was sweatpants with zippers.
Yep.
Really? I've never lost keys at the gym, on the treadmill ever again, or in a class ever again. That's the one that changed part of my life, that little thing.
The one that always kills me is I'm left-handed. And when you're left-handed, you tend to throw your stuff into your left pocket. Your cell phone and your wallet go into your left pocket. Well, when you're driving in the United States, you're on the left side. Thus, the car door opens. The wallet has slid out driving around in the car, and I kick it into the dark parking lot, step over it, and head to wherever I'm heading with the thing sitting out in the parking lot. That's why I got the zippers. All right, let's talk to Kevin. Kevin?
Sweatpants should go.
No. Radio down. Topic, please.
Zippers on the side.
Wow. Kevin. Does anybody not know in this day and age to turn off
your
radio?
Come on. Tons. Come on.
All right. Kevin, turn your radio down. You'll hear that in about 20 seconds. Let's talk to Aaron. Aaron?
Yeah, how can you complain about the improvement in video games from, like, Q-Bert and Pong to Madden EA that looks like a sports game? You don't even know you're playing a game.
Well, let me say this. First off, I have multi-tiers of anger for this one. First off... People make that mistake with me sometimes where they go, you know how when you're growing up you had the Pong or you'd play the electronic battleship? And I would say, no, I don't remember that. Why? Because first off, let's talk about electronic battleship. It has the word electronic in it, which means the Corollas weren't interested in it. As I told you many times, if it plugged in or it took batteries, it was not in the Corolla house. Pong plugged in. Pong took some hooking up to a TV set. Pong couldn't be played on a 13-inch goddamn Zenith set that you had to bang on the top like Fonzie because it snowed over every 10 minutes. And it probably cost $60 in 1976, and that was a king's ransom to the Corolla. So, A, I don't remember how those games were because I never had any of those games. B, I think kids today, I think the morbid obesity level with kids today is directly correlated to these video games. We talked about this last week. We always say, oh, kids eat like crap. Kids always ate like crap. When I was a kid, what, you think kids started liking soda in 1996? Every kid I grew up with drank soda. We all ate at McDonald's. We all ate junk. And then we went out in the yard and we played a little game called Ditch or Smear the Queer. It was basically a game called I don't have an effing video game. Inside of the house, there's nothing but one crappy TV and a mom who's horribly depressed. So I'm going outside, and I'm going to beat the crap out of anyone who gets near me, and we're going to wrestle, and then we're going to chase each other around on our bicycles. That's what we did. The video games have now caused everyone to move in, sit in front of the TV. They're still consuming the soda. They're still eating the McDonald's, but now they ain't playing Ditch. Now you have morbid obesity. So these games are killing kids, and adults shouldn't be playing them. So here's the deal. There's two segments of society. There's children, and there's adults. Children shouldn't be playing them because it's making them fat and sedentary. Adults shouldn't be playing them because they're adults. Adults aren't supposed to be living in a world of fantasy. That's the deal about adults. You join the world of reality. You have bills to pay. You have children to take care of. You have a nut to make every month. You don't live in fantasy anymore. You live in harsh reality. You shouldn't be escaping, unless it's with masturbation, to a world of fantasy. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, let me try.
And true, by the way.
Kevin again. Yes, well, since when did kids never eat like crap? They've always eaten like crap.
They have to play more Mom's Depressed, and I don't have an effing video game.
That's right. That's right. Kevin? All right. I'm now going to hang up on you, Kevin. Let's see. Let's talk to Marcos. Marcos?
Hey, what's up?
What's happening, my friend? What can I complain about?
Can't complain about freedom of speech.
Freedom
not in a lot of countries, but here you can.
Freedom of speech is a good one, but you do have so many a-holes spouting out about so much and spewing out so much crap, and then they always hide behind that, and then some guy's got to burn a flag because he's free, and everyone has to do this. Like, I'm free, and then they have to point out to you that it's free.
That bitch that protests people's funerals that are coming home from Iraq, she's protected under freedom of speech. I didn't mean to jump in. I'm sorry,
no,
but that one makes me
mad.
But
it's a valid point. And it's now official that I've heard more people I wish would have been silenced by the government than pro whatever I'm interested in. So I like it as a concept, but practically, I've had an ass full of freedom of speech. All right, let's do one more of these things. Let's talk to Travis. Travis?
Yeah.
How say you, my friend? What can't I complain about?
How are you able to complain about a speed limit increase to, let's say, 85 miles an hour in middle American plains on a desolate interstate highway?
Did it happen, or is this a hypothetical?
It's just hypothetical.
Oh. Well, this is going to be easy to complain about. Okay, now I'm going to stand up. Most everyone I know who has traveled up north or who has traveled down to the Vegas area has got themselves a speeding ticket. You show me someone who's driven up to San Francisco and driven back to L.A. more than twice, I'll show you someone who got a speeding ticket. Why? Well, it's pretty easy. New cars are fast. They work well. They just do. I mean, it's called technology. They go faster, safer than old cars, and it feels that way. You take my mom's VW Squareback from 1968 with the four retreads on it, and you drive that thing at 65, and it feels like you're in a roller coaster.
Freak out!
Steering wheel is jiggling. The wind is sailing through all the improperly sealed door seams. The air is thick with carbon monoxide and the smell of gasoline from the engine in the back. I mean, when you're going 65, you feel like you're Evel Knievel, that thing. When you jump inside my Audi with four-wheel drive and anti-lock brakes and all the German engineering in the world and all the aerodynamic engineering, you don't hear a sound. That door shuts. It's like, boom. And you do 80, and you are twice as safe at 80 as my mom's VW Squareback was in the 70s when you were going 65. Yet, if a cop was behind us, I would be the one who got the ticket. So the cops know that 65 doesn't feel like 65 anymore, just like when you're in a commercial aircraft and you're going 575 miles an hour and you're standing around drinking a highball talking to some other guys waiting to go into the can. It doesn't feel like it. It's all relative. Well, the cops know that, and the cops know that everyone passing down the grapevine or traveling up the whatever on the way to Vegas is going to experience that sensation as well. And they will sit there like the pussies that they are with their radar guns in their lap. And when I heard about them getting testicular cancer from those radar guns, I laughed like a hyena. I thought, good. Maybe there is a God. You know what? I was an atheist, but if you're going to sit and bus people for chicken-ass tickets in your car getting fat with a radar gun in your lap for a living, then you deserve testicular cancer. You made the decision, not me. You decided to take a life where you sat like a puss. You see, at least a wolf could wait and pounce. You don't pounce. You just sit there with a radar gun and a coffee and write chicken-ass tickets. But this is what they do now. Of course the speed limit should be raised to 85 in the middle of the country. Of course when you're driving down the grapevine and there's nothing but earth in front of you and you see the earth curving off in the distance, there's so much straightaway, you should be able to go faster than 65. But there's money to be made. They won't let that money go. Thus, they continue raping the citizenship. We need to take a stand against this. And yes, I say 85. It's time we drive 85 and stay alive. Thank you.
You know what I say?
What?
That any cop with a radar gun in his lap till he lost one of his balls, apparently Adam got it.
Yes, right.
I wouldn't have said that for all the world if I'm going to drive on this street.
They know they're chicken ass sitting there with a radar gun in their lap.
Do you have another complaint in you, Adam?
Yes. Why? You have anything on there you want?
This is a tough one. I don't know if you can handle what's on line six.
Line six? Okay. Let's talk to line six. Joe?
Yes.
Your topic is Jewish liberation after the Holocaust?
Yes, Pence. You wanted a big one. I gave you a big one.
You can do this.
All right, I'm going to try. Look,
I don't want to be here when you don't.
Let me say something to all the haters, too, out there, just quickly. I was looking at the message board, and someone was talking about what can't Adam complain about, and they put in the snarky, the alleged spontaneous bit, although the things are written up there. Yes, everyone's topic is written up there. How much time do you think I have to prepare on the Jewish liberation after the Holocaust?
20 seconds we're into now. That's it.
Yes. Yes.
And you pointed it out. It's not like you looked at it and said, get to that in a few minutes when I've got something while I'm railing against radar guys.
Right. The thing about it is, look, we have the topics to everything written up here. That doesn't mean we know what direction it's going to go when the people state their topic, and it doesn't mean we have any idea what direction we're going to go when they do that. All right.
I don't know where you're going with this.
I have no idea.
I'm almost sorry I did this to you.
Jewish liberation. All right, let me see what I can do. Jewish liberation after the Holocaust.
Yes.
Okay. The blacks.
Right.
The blacks hate the Jews.
Yeah.
This is why the blacks hate the Jews. Not necessarily because of the Holocaust, but because the Holocaust trumps them. Not the liberation part. The overall notion of the Holocaust trumps slavery. You see, it was only 50 or 60 years ago versus slavery being 100 years ago. And when you come in and you're sitting around a party and you say to somebody, yeah, man, one time I was playing hoops and I stepped on this other guy's foot and I rolled my ankle really bad and it sucked, man. I mean, it hurt, man. I mean, I had to have ice on it the whole weekend. And then some Jew raises her hand and goes, my entire family was wiped out in an oven.
But my ankle hurts.
Now, not that slavery is the ankle, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah. We never talk about it. It's why the black men hate the Jews. You want to know why blacks hate Jews? Why? They marched arm in arm in the 60s with Martin Luther King. They hate them because the Holocaust trumps slavery. It was worse. So, and that's why there were no black liberators. Look at the pictures.
I think there
were. Look at the pictures.
Just look,
they were flying overhead, but they were not liberating the camps. Look at the pictures. That, and also, I don't like to look at the pictures. I must say, do not bring a camera everywhere. I don't know if they had cell phones that took pictures back then. I understand what an atrocity is.
Yeah.
I don't need to see a picture of a ship sinking or a camp being liberated to understand. I understand what 6 foot, 100 pounds looks like and the piles of bodies. It's rough on me. And as I've said many, many times, you go walk through a Holocaust museum and then you decide whether I'm nuts when I say we should bomb Germany again. All right, half an answer, but that's as much as I have in me.
That was What Can't Adam Complain About?
Mm-hmm. All right, we need to take ourselves a little break. Let's see. I want to talk to you guys about the space shuttle. I want to give you some facts on the space shuttle. I am intrigued with technology. It's all over the news. Another piece of foam has popped off, done some damage, possibly screwed up a heat shield. They're thinking about repairing it. You see, the thing about it is when the thing re-enters the Earth's atmosphere, it heats up to 2 billion degrees. The friction is what does it. I believe, and anyone who knows more about this is more than welcome to call up and correct me, but the friction is so amazing that when it re-enters our atmosphere that it, whatever the surface that's the leading edge, meaning whatever, I guess it's the bottom of the space shuttle, has all the heat shields on it. It gets red hot. When the heat shields are screwed up, the thing burns up. Well, there's a problem now, but I'm going to give you some, facts on the space shuttle. One is the space shuttle. Well, I'll tease it. How many Greyhound buses does the space shuttle weigh? I know that sounded like I worded it backwards, and I probably did, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This thing is a glider. This thing has no power. This thing, not when it re-enters our atmosphere. This thing re-enters our atmosphere 100 miles in the air and then finds a landing strip on our planet.
Uh-huh.
That is the size of several football fields, but still, The idea that it can find, you know, Nevada or Cape Canaveral or wherever it lands or wherever it decides to land. The idea that it glides. If it misses, it can't come around again. It is a glider. It is a glider that weighs as much as how many Greyhound buses? I'll answer you that, and I'll give you more about this next.
It's time for a little Nicaraguan Name That Tune, where Ozzy is going to sing some songs from The Grateful Dead, and you're going to try to figure out what the hell he's singing.
Casey Jones, you better watch USB.
If you can, you'll win tickets to see Bob Weir and Rat Dog at the Greek Theater. Phone number's 866-901-ADAM on the Adam Carolla Show.
Way to confuse deadheads.
Life isn't hard enough for them. I don't know why we just fired that one off.
It was an accident.
All right.
It happens.
S happens. Speaking of S happening, that's what I was talking about, right. The space shuttle. So first off, can you answer my trivia question, people? How many Greyhound buses does, and maybe it's half a Greyhound bus, maybe it's a trick question, how many Greyhound buses does the space shuttle weigh as much as? It is amazing
to
me.
Will you take them all park, or does that be exact?
Sure. Well, I'll go exact on how many buses.
Or not full of gas.
The shuttle?
The shuttle. Because I don't know how much fuel it takes.
I'm going the shuttle itself. Just the dry weight of the shuttle itself.
The one that's sitting on the back of the 747 when they load it up as light as it can be.
Yeah, more like when it's coming back into our atmosphere. But that's what I'm looking for. And the same with the Greyhound bus.
How many gay guys weigh as much as the shuttle?
Greyhound bus, yeah. Yeah, dry weight, as they call it in automotive magazines.
Not in the gay world, they don't.
It is amazing to me that thing glides. And if I were in the shuttle, here's how the conversation would be. So we're coming in. Mm-hmm. We're gliding. Uh-huh. What if we miss the landing strip? We won't. How do you know? Don't worry. We're just gliding? Yeah. How do we know? First off, we're over Africa. Where's the landing strip? It's in Florida. Florida? What the? We got to go back and try again. No, we can't. We don't have any power. We just glide. The idea that we can hit a landing strip from outer space somewhere in Florida, and I don't even know where they enter, but we're going to hit. Now, the Earth is rotating. This thing's going 600, 700 miles an hour, whatever the hell it is. I mean, it's going a lot faster than that when it hits, but once it gets to gliding speed, it slows down. But the idea that somehow going to hit the end of this landing strip, and not just hit anywhere on the landing strip. We got to get to the end of the landing strip because we need a lot of
coasting. And then we need to stop at the end of the landing strip. We'll be good, too.
Yes.
We would like to continue, but I have a question, sir. When the space shuttle appears to be just sitting there and the guys are playing weightless stuff with the toothpaste, yet they say it's traveling at 45,000 miles an hour or whatever, is it really just sitting there and the world travels at 25,000 miles an hour and therefore they are traveling because Africa's below you and 6 seconds later America's below you, so you must be going that fast? Or are you just really just sitting there and the world's going that fast?
Well, they're going that fast because they're in outer space and there's no friction.
Right.
So,
but are they really going? They're not just sitting there where it looks like they're sitting and the world's doing the speed?
I don't know, but I think they are doing that.
Wow.
And I think it's the zero friction involved with the environment they're in that lets them go that fast. You guys don't realize what air friction does. I mean, that's why you get horrible mileage when you travel at 100 miles an hour versus 60 miles an hour. It's just the amount of air, the friction that you have to push through. I mean, just think about how powerful just the atmosphere is. This thing that weighs, I'll give you a hint, as much as multiple school buses can go slowly and safely down just based on the wingspan isn't that broad. On the space shuttle. Right. It's not that much wing. I mean, it doesn't stick out 300 feet. It's a relatively small area. All right, let's take a few guesses.
Diversity.
Here. Hey, Jesse?
Yo, Adam.
You have a guess on the space shuttle?
I have a guess. I'd like to actually tell you really quickly, though, you make the working day world-class, you know, morning pretty much actually bearable without a loaded weapon.
Thank you. What do you do
you
for...
You don't work here, bro.
What do you do for a living?
I am a customer service representative for a telephone company. On my free time, I'm in a band.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And you probably know my wife.
Are you able to listen on your way into work? Are you able to listen at work?
I listen to you religiously through the internet and on the way to work.
Ah, well, thank you, Jesse.
You're welcome, sir.
All right. You want to venture a guess?
Guessing lightweight, entering the atmosphere around 25.
No, a little heavy. Okay. A little heavy, right. But thank you. Let's go to Joe. Joe?
Yes.
The space shuttle. It's a glider, everybody. How much does it weigh when it re-enters the atmosphere?
300 feet. Well, I was calling to guess on some dead tunes.
He had three written up there.
Keep on trucking.
Anthony has 47. He must be high. Let's talk to Harrison. Harrison?
Yeah, hey, Adam.
Oh, you're calling from Lake Arrowhead?
Yeah, Lake Arrowhead, but I'm in Newport Beach right now, though, at my shop. Kitchen remodeling and refinish and rebuild pianos.
Ah,
kind of cool.
I love your show. I like Teresa. Danny, you're great.
Thanks, man. Fine craftsman.
But that's why I'm calling in, because Danny was a little off on how fast the space shuttle goes around and the orbit of the Earth.
Oh, it was a question. I wasn't off. You can't be off when you're asking a question. You can only be off when you're answering.
No, I know it was just an assumption. Okay, well, I'll just correct you. I think it's about 17,000 to 18,000 miles an hour just to stay in orbit around the Earth at the altitude that they're at.
Give me a break.
The Earth only rotates about 1,000 miles an hour, so that's why it's about a 24-hour day. So 24 hours, you know, we got
there.
And the reentry, actually, they slow themselves down. They do their little pit moves, and, you know, they get them belly to hit the...
Right.
Atmosphere, right. They're going through the atmosphere. And yes, it is. It's a lot of friction, the resistance. Can you imagine traveling, a bullet traveling 4,000 or 5,000 miles an hour? It heats up, it glows.
Mm-hmm.
Those shields actually resist a lot. They're designed to hold a lot more heat. And actually, they don't even really get that hot. They just glow and hold heat, and it dissipates immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually heat one up to 4,000 degrees, and within seconds, reach over and pick it up.
Really?
Yes. They're NASA.
We can't figure out how to get more than 20 miles an hour for a car. You know what I mean? I mean, not miles an hour, but miles per gallon for an automobile.
Of course we can.
Seems like a little bit of a conspiracy to me.
Actually, I do what I do on the freeway, besides running left turn arrows.
Yeah,
good
buddy.
Man.
I know. What I do is actually when I see traffic slowing, I'll actually coast every mile or two, I'll coast a quarter mile.
Like throw it in
and
neutral?
Get going again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I'm just pushing the clutch, coast, let the idle go down to what, 800 RPM. And actually, just yesterday morning, I was leaving the golf course in Long Beach, coming back to Newport Beach, and I had my light came on. And I know I get about 22 miles or 23 on my little Ford Focus when the light comes on, and I went a total of 33. So, I mean, I literally pushed almost another 10 miles just by coasting every...
Harrison, can I just jump in for a second?
Yeah, go ahead, Adam.
The last time you got laid?
Probably about 3 days ago.
Really?
Yeah, I was going to say, nerd or no nerd, by his setup, I bet he gets chicks.
What
married.
Was the prostitute's name?
Believe me, I'm not a nerd. I can send you a picture. I'm no nerd.
Oh, yeah.
All right, are you married?
Yeah, well, I've been together with the same girl for 18 years, but I've been with other girls. So.
Making me hot. All right, so your guess on the weight of the shuttle.
No, I might even be wrong, too. I said around 10, because I thought I might have heard that once before. But you know what? It's not light. It's a lot heavier than you would imagine.
It is a lot heavier than you would imagine. It's about 8 or somewhere between 8
close.
And 10. So I'm going to give it to Harrison.
Yeah.
It's something, the next time you see a Greyhound bus or a city bus going down the street, imagine 8 or 10 of those as a glider.
Oh, my God.
That is just gliding into Cape Canaveral or wherever, over Nevada or wherever it lands, and finding this just pinprick on the planet. I mean, it's not like you can see the landing strip from space or probably even anything higher than... 30,000 feet or so. Also, we're talking about the atmosphere. You know, that's the way the Concorde used to fly. It'd get up into the thin stratosphere, and it wouldn't have the resistance, and it could fly twice the speed of sound or more, I believe. But the amount of fuel it takes to push you when there's not much to push off of is so great that it just didn't work out. And thus, we're getting buses that hold 700 people rather than supersonic planes that hold 80 rich people. That's the direction we're all going. All right. Something that I find interesting. And the thing is supposed to be coming down, I think, on the 20th.
I think the most interesting part of this mission is that Barbara Morgan is up there. She was the understudy for the other teacher.
Sally
who died.
No, who's the school teacher?
Christy McAuliffe.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of weird when you're sitting in the seat that the last chick died in and everyone's making a big deal out of it? And doesn't that freak you out? And how long do you have to wait as a school teacher? Because that Christine McAuliffe thing was, what, in the late 80s?
It was a while. First of all, I can't believe they have the same understudy.
That's not what happened.
What happened?
Well, I don't know if you actually saw the it was a challenge, right?
Right.
Blow up, but I'm guessing she's not sitting in the same seat.
Different seat.
Yeah.
Different seat entirely.
The worst footage of ever. The worst
My God.
No. The worst footage ever was watching her class.
The worst
footage ever. Because it was cheers and all this is awesome. Yeah. And look at her. She's going up into space.
That's my teacher.
We're so proud of her. And then there was that moment of, is this what it's supposed to look like? Because I'm seeing fire go in multiple directions where it was just going in one direction before they have the camera on the class who's on the TV watching the TV. That is sad.
Do you remember when Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera would have dance fights?
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to have a bad video fight with me? Real quick?
Yes.
Okay. So there's that one. There's the it's a split screen video fight between me and Adam right now. There's the space shuttle and her class.
Right.
How about this one? I don't know if I win, but how about this for memorable? Black University, White University, OJ verdict. Do you remember that? How weird that was?
Yeah. Yes.
Where the African-American school went, I knew it, and started cheering and cheering and cheering. And the white college students just broke down. Somebody just got away with murder. That was some of the weirdest footage I have ever seen.
Yes, seeing the celebration, tragic in a way as well. I was at the courthouse watching the folks fall to their knees and thank their God that O.J. was out heading to Florida.
I'm too young to know where I was when Kennedy was shot, but I know the exact spot I was in when the O.J. verdict came in.
Where were you?
I was running late, but they didn't care, for a live television show. I was outside New York in the back of a limousine listening to the radio, and the live television show had some guest guy on it because the other guy was watching TV, too, and we're watching another channel. So the show just ran late while everyone froze and waited for that verdict to come in. So I was sitting outside in a car in New York City the second that came in.
Yeah, it must have been at like 12:30 in the afternoon or something like that, because I think it came in about 9:30 out here. I was physically standing at the courthouse.
You were doing a piece for the man
jail
show?
Or,
No, I was doing Kevin and Bean, the morning show down the street at the time, and they dispatched me to go down there and just stand around. And I remember being completely freaked out and disturbed. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Music Monday, that's what we got coming up. The topic, ringtones. You can get whatever song you want loaded into your phone. This happened when
Adam's
got
the phone.
By the way, you can get mine, too. I don't know how to do it anymore, but during Breaking Bad at each, I think you can still do it at VH1.com. It's me going, hey, pick up your phone or I'll shoot steroids and kill you.
Oh, really?
Stuff like that, yeah.
You can download that.
Yeah, you can download that if you're really stupid.
This started when Ryan, one of our employees here, our dump guy, Ryan, was standing in here. Somebody called him. What song was it, Brian?
It was first New Order.
There were two songs, yeah.
First it started with a New Order song. Well, either way. We'll take ourselves a break. We'll come back with ringtones. Is this really Don? Is this Don Henley or is this was this his other ringtone?
Yeah, well, somebody busted him by calling him during our meeting in the room to humiliate him.
Right, so this song came up, with feeling the heat on the street and all that horrible stuff. And we all made fun of him, and then we thought, yeah, what ringtones would you be proud to have, and then what would be embarrassing? So, here's the scenario. You're standing in a crowded room. No, this is the
this
other
one,
yeah. Or maybe you're in a crowded elevator, and your phone rings. What song comes out of it, for good or for bad? Ringtones, Music Monday, next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. It's another Music Monday. Topic today, most embarrassing ringtones. Music Monday brought to you by Sal's Hornitos Tequila, alerting you to prepare for this year's live all summer Battle of the Bands. Hornitos Tequila reminds you to drink smart. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
That song, Lick It Up, was written by probably Gene Simmons and the boys for the Kiss, like, Unmasked in, like, you know, 1980 or something. I mean, Gene Simmons had to be a man of 35 when he decided to take pen to paper and write this song. Lick it up! Song is called Lick It Up. Lick It Up. This is my favorite part, this part. It's only right now.
Lick it up.
Yeah, right now.
By the way, I get that because I'm, you know, the 5 second rule.
Yeah.
If you drop food, you have 5 seconds to pick it up and still eat it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of the few people I know that has a 5 second rule for drinks
and powder.
Now,
right.
I've sniffed it off the back of a Labrador before.
This is.
Look at me. I'm a drug addict. Ho ho ho.
Right there.
This is worse or arguably better than anything Spinal Tap could ever dream of producing.
Yeah.
Lick it up.
Let's play some games.
Yeah. Wow, what a songsmith Gene Simmons is.
Give me a break.
Well, you want to talk about just Touched by God. That is what you call talent there, writing Lick It Up. Mm-hmm. Not in junior high.
No.
As an adult. As a professional musician who's been around for 20 years before that, Lick It Up is what he comes up with. All right. Well, let's talk about embarrassing ringtones. Again, this is an embarrassing song you've downloaded, good and bad. We'll start with a good one, and then we'll go to the bad just because it's funnier. You're in a crowded area, an elevator. Maybe you're at a party. Maybe just a bunch of people, and maybe people you don't know very well. Your ringtone says something about you.
Oh, yeah.
I realize, and maybe it's just me being naive, but if you put on a hat, and that hat just says New York Yankees on it, you'll walk around throughout the day, and five people will stop you and have a question about your hat. You're from New York, you're a big Yankees fan, and I'll just think to myself, oh, no, I'm just wearing a Yankees hat.
Right.
I never thought about it. It was just a blue hat someone gave me, and I put it on. I didn't know it meant anything. Your ringtones mean something, and you'll be judged whether you're just wearing your Yankee hat and don't know it or not.
It takes that a step further. It's just you're wearing your, you know, all-red tracksuit in the, you know, Crips area.
Right.
You weren't thinking about it, and all of a sudden you're shot to death.
That's right.
Oh, damn, I should have thought.
That's what we're talking about. And you could be shot for some of these. Well, first I'm going to go with a good one.
Okay.
This is a song I love by They Might Be Giants.
I love the name of this man.
By, this one's called Dr. Worm. Just a great horn-driven song. They call me Dr. Worm. Let people know you're in a good mood.
Right.
You know, I love it, but is there a good ringtone, or should you just have the one your phone came with?
You're probably right. I don't know if I'd want this on my phone either, but I still love the song.
Shouldn't it just go ring?
It should.
I mean,
that would be a good
does.
One. Bonaducci just making the ring sound.
They have it. VH1.com.
All right, but let's go to my first in the bad department from.
Nice.
Very gay and very dated.
I feel like Dump Guy Ryan may have this. He's laughing a little too hard.
That's his mom calling.
Oh, that's sweet. Right, because you can set it up that you have a different song for everyone who calls you.
I've noticed that. I don't know how to do it, but yeah, you can. My daughter has a different one. I don't know how it happened, but when Isabella calls, I still don't know it's Isabella because it's just a different ringtone. I haven't gotten used to it, but you can do that.
Yeah.
Mine does hundreds of them. I just don't know how.
All right, Send Me an Angel, Real Life, 1983, not a great one. Here's one that sounds like a no-duh one, but just as humiliating.
Because it's a little on the nose.
Yeah, I thought of this one. I thought this.
On the nose and kind of corny.
I might be screwed later.
This would be very embarrassing if it went off in an elevator.
Let's go to the number six effort here. Little Dirty Laundry for you, kids.
Nice.
I think it was a writer, Mike, who commented when this song just came up after the show last week that I went from zero to livid in 0.2 seconds. Yeah. And he said, you never run out of steam with this, do you? And I said, no, that's the beauty of me.
I was going to say zero to livid in 2 seconds, kind of slow.
You're like
you fall?
You're like a Ferrari of complaint.
Yes, I am just as angry about this horrible, horrible Dirty Laundry song as I was when it went to number one! Number one in 1982,
Someone's
everybody.
Calling. Can you pick up?
And this isn't even the... all right, stop. I gotta swallow my tongue. Stop, please. All right.
It's even worse as a ringtone.
Let's do one more before we go to break. Yes, the Empire Carpet Jingle. All right, all right. We have Teresa and Danny's songs. We have my number one. We have your songs out there. I'm seeing some songs I like on the board already. Some good efforts. We'll take a quick break. Be back with the most embarrassing ringtones next.
Music Monday brought to you by Sazo Hornitos Tequila, reminding you to drink smart. Now back to Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah. Trying to figure out how to get this on my phone.
Yeah. A lot of them are so bad, they're good.
Yeah, gold may have crossed into that territory. All righty then. I will play you one more example of what I think is a good one. This is a Junior Walker and the All-Stars song. Not going to take any crap for that. Plus, there are any brothers in the elevator, you're going to get one of these. Hey, you get that?
Cred.
Right, get a little street cred. A little old school Motown Junior Walker and the All-Stars circa 1965. Number one in 1965.
The ringtone, when they make the song to a ringtone, it almost sounds like an old vinyl.
Yeah.
Line.
All right. That is good. T, give us one of your good ones.
I think this is just kitschy, fun, and I love the movie from which this song's.
Nice.
My favorite movie. You can't be unhappy when your phone
she's
rings.
She's dancing for her life now.
Yeah, she's dancing for her life.
Literally was dancing around the kitchen with the kids. Last night at 8 o'clock to this song.
Really?
Hey, really?
Yep. Had the 80s music channel on the satellite TV sometimes just to have the music coming in there. This song popped up, and I picked up Sonny, who's a load, and my wife picked up Natalia, who's not, and just started dancing around because I thought, my God, my kids are going to have a good time. They ain't going to have the bummed out parents.
Yeah.
I just thought my parents were such a full-blown bummer that it made me depressed when I was five.
How would I know
Why not see your parents be happy and dancing
around?
Have
a good time with your kids, for the love of Christ. There'll be plenty of times when I'm grounding them and giving them timeouts and disgusted by them later on in life. Why not enjoy them now? So, yes, we were dancing around with this song not 12 hours ago.
You were taking your passion and making it happen.
I was making it happen all over my son.
That is a very cute tableau.
Took my passion and made it happen on Sunny. All right. Danny, what do you got in the good department of the ringtones?
I'm a tad concerned about the on-the-nose thing now. So go ahead there, Brian. And
wait, let me guess. Blondie, call me?
Either you're a genius or Danny's retarded, or maybe it's a little bit of both.
I'm going to go with I'm retarded. But I had other ones, too. I had Jenny with her phone number.
Mm-hmm.
I kept going.
Mm-hmm. This would be pretty embarrassing if it was your ringtone.
I had Baby Don't Lose That Number.
Ah.
I had hundreds to pick from that were just this stupid.
Also, yeah. Is this in American Gigolo?
Yes. It is, which was on cable last week, and I watched almost the entire thing.
It's a great movie.
Just to see what the hell was going on in the 80s. And that movie is 1980, and that is the beginning of what we know as GQ.
Yeah, it was.
There was no such thing as the ties that were cut off square at the bottom, or the glasses that looked like chicks' glasses, or the guys with the GQ look, the loafers with no socks and all that stuff. Richard Gere ushered that in, much to a 15-year-old's, much to my chagrin when I was 15, but... I watched it just to see what the hell was going on. Pre-AIDS.
Yeah.
American Gigolo. Sad ending. All right. Where were we? That's right. My next song. This is a very embarrassing ringtone.
Now, is this John Mark Carr's version?
Yes, this is not LeBlanc and Carr's version. That is John Mark Carr. Like, you're hardcore if you can get the pedophiles version of the horrible song on your ringtone.
You have to explain, because people will go, what song is this, Adam?
Ah, that's that one, that guy. Remember the guy who said he killed JonBenet Ramsey, but he didn't, which is kind of worse, actually. He's now a liar and a guy who wanted to kill somebody who was 6 years old. Yeah. Let's go to yours, T. What do you got in your number two department?
I would die of shame if anyone thought that I chose this as my own ringtone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ah, Roy Orbison. Oh, yeah, sure.
I mean, a lot of girls. I put this with Brown Eyed Girl when people think, this is my song. I'm a brown eyed girl.
Yes.
I'm a pretty woman. Ew. I'm going to make this my song. So I would die of shame.
As well, you should.
Right, like if Roy Orbison wrote a song called Hung Like a Rhino and I put it in mine.
Yes!
You
and every
that?
Guy thinks it's their song, right?
I'm a brown-eyed girl. Yes, you and 200 billion other women who've lived on this planet before you. Yeah, you're right. That's horrible.
It'd be awful.
Okay, Danny, what do you got for an embarrassing ringtone?
Now, I was thinking, you know, and this time I strayed because I was going to do Short People by Randy Newman. And I wouldn't want that. And then I thought, but I would never put that in a bazillion years, but I would put this. Baby beluga, oh, baby beluga. Anybody know who this is?
Sing about a whale?
A baby beluga, as a matter of fact. If you don't know now, you'll know soon, Adam.
Is it SpongeBob
it's
or
Raffy.
Something? Ralphie?
Raffy.
Raffy?
Oh, you're just
a terrorist?
Yeah.
Who's Raffy?
He's got a baby beluga loaded with TNT and C4.
It's
Raffy. He's one of those guys
musicians.
That just... The key to kids' music is repetition.
Uh-huh.
And they'll do this forever. Forever.
Are my kids coming into this phase?
Yeah, unless Raffy dies. And there's a chance of that.
What is Raffy?
Raffy's a guy who plays guitar and looks really happy and sings to kids in a classroom, or he's the flesh and blood Barney.
How do I avoid this guy?
I know.
You can't.
Isn't that weird?
I don't know. I should
Raffy's
know Raffy.
Got things all the, you know, apples and beninis and all those things, like all those little kiddie songs.
Mm, maybe
no,
I'm
too young. His kids
maybe
are too young.
Maybe I just tune out. Yeah, but Bald Brian has no kids.
Yeah, but yeah. Bald Brian, like, likes.
He likes kids. Oh, I see.
He needs kids.
All right. Yeah, this is how he gets them off the monkey bars.
Here's my number two effort in the embarrassing department on the ringtones. Yes, Bald Brian? Especially if it's July.
No, it doesn't matter. You'd have to kill yourself. I'm sorry. I didn't go this deep. I'd be ashamed.
My number one is Liquid Gold. I must just tell you. Yeah. I found it last night at the last second, and it was like somebody, it was like manna from heaven just dropping into my lap.
But you know what can make this worse?
Mm.
If you laughed when it did it, like you thought you were really clever.
Oh, yeah, it's really amused.
Like you were really clever. And then you looked around like, how clever am I? And what can I have?
Mm. And then I made this joke. My dog's calling.
Oh, God.
He wants another chew toy.
I don't want to step it on anybody's toes by saying what could be worse, but you could have Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Bad as well,
yeah,
yes.
Also bad.
T, number one.
Before I play this, it's also a holiday song, but here's the problem. There's times when I'd like to maintain an air of mystery. I'd like people to think, oh, maybe she's Latin. Her name's Teresa. Maybe she's Italian or Greek.
Mm-hmm.
And then my phone rings. There goes all my street cred. Or I'm with my boyfriend's Catholic family. They're trying to forget.
We will never forget.
Let's say I'm at a church. At a wedding.
You got me.
Let's say I'm at the X Games.
Let's just say you're at the X Games for fun.
Just sitting in the audience of the X Games is a stunt on Chew Ass.
It'd be really, you know, it'd be funny if it happened, like, let's say the waiter came by and you were looking at your bill and you were like, I'm sorry, I thought, okay, now hold on, you charge me an extra 50 cents for the avocado, but on the menu it said that the picante omelet came without, and oh, hold on, I got a phone call.
Hold on.
It's my rabbi.
It's my accountant. He says I shouldn't tip you more than, first of all, let me say that I way over tip because I'm so afraid of people thinking I'm cheap. Yeah, I way over tip everybody. And the other thing is, let's say I'm trying to buy a car, and then this comes on. You think they're going to charge me more?
No, I think they know they have they have a serious customer. Yeah, they're going to be in for some haggling. All right, good call, T. Danny, number one.
Now, this one I think is good because it's not so on the nose either way. You would just be humiliated if this hit your ringtone. You know who this is?
No.
This be Cisco.
This be Cisco.
The fun song.
Oh, this is
the fun song. The fun song.
Oh, yeah, here it comes.
It'd be a conversation starter.
Mm-hmm.
Not with anybody you wanted to know.
Yeah, that is embarrassing. But I would argue.
Like a truck, I forgot that lyric.
You know, that's almost enough said, Adam Carolla. I would argue. Yeah, I know.
Not as embarrassing as a song that I forgot about. I completely forgot about. It was number three, top five in 1982 by Wham.
I love Wham. Yeah.
Wise guys realize the danger in emotion.
Okay, when I said I love Wham, I didn't mean this song. You are gay. Nor anybody who actually knows the words to it.
I was watching the Behind the Music. They should add a second behind when they're doing one on a gay guy. Whenever they do a Behind the Music on a gay guy, it should be behind the Music.
Elton John.
Behind, three behinds. Behind the Music.
He's gay.
Nice.
There's just no straight way to pull this song off.
The show has reached a new low.
Corolla's blowing up over there. One more time. All right, all right, enough.
I'm never going to get tired of this.
Let's talk to Jabob.
Shabbat.
Jabob?
Jabob, are you talking
Jacob?
To me?
Jacob? Yeah, there we go.
Whatever.
Jacob, that's a little typo there.
Oh, my goodness.
What is your song?
My song on in the good department and in the bad department would be AC/DC's Back in Black.
Mm.
You cannot go wrong with that old school hip hop beat, the heavy guitar, unless you leave your phone on during cook.
Mm. A little left out, but good.
Yeah.
People don't want to mess with you.
Yeah, but you also, if you don't mind, want to give credit where credit is due. How the hell did Bald Brian have that on a ringtone already?
Yeah, well, we're on top
it's
of our
game.
The great
Mike Dawson who got that in.
All right, whichever one of you guys did it, that was bitching.
Well, let's see if we can make magic happen again. Curtis?
Ooh, don't curse us.
Hey, what's up, bro?
What do you got for a ringtone?
I don't know who sings it, but it's Who Could It Be Now?
Men at work with a guy that looks kind of sideways.
Yeah.
I like it. I feel like if this was your ringtone, people would roll their eyes a little.
Yeah, a little too on the nose, but still damn good. All right, enough of this nonsense. We have a real show to do. We have Pamela. Pamela DeBar is coming in. She is, probably the most famous of all the groupies. Let's spend...
I know Pamela very well.
The Night Together is the name of... I guess it's the name of her book. Yeah.
We bumped into each other in the hallway, and she goes, I know you, and I said, I know you. And then we passed like ships in the night.
Oh, really? Well, we'll hear that story. Slept with Elvis, Jimi Hendrix, Marilyn Manson, Courtney Love, Tom Jones, what?
Stories about those people.
Tom Jones.
All legendary groupies.
Ah. So if I have slept with this lovely young lady, I've slept with all those people by proxy.
They've had relationships.
Yes. That's bitching. I did it with Tom Jones.
We will take ourselves a quick break. Oh, yes, I know Pamela. I've seen her interviewed many times. We'll take a quick break. Be back with the World's Greatest Groupie next.
Met David Gilmour. As time goes on, more and more people get added to my list. Right.
Oh, yeah. I tried to bribe people to get into Heidi Fleiss's black book. I wanted in that book so bad to have my name in there, like I can afford her.
People would have been shocked.
Yeah, and Paul Bonaducci, the hooker.
Name in there.
Well, Dave Navarro wrote the intro for I'm With the Band, my most recent. It came out again 2005.
And it was reissued?
Yes, it was reissued. And he said, you know, he was so thrilled to have his name in there that he put it in there three times. Because it's, you know, it's a kind of prestigious to have been in my bed.
Well,
right?
Who, give us your point. Give us your top ten of hookups, your top ten rock and roll hookups, Pamela.
Well, okay. Do you want all the way or just sort
of? Yeah, I'm going all the way.
Well, because I did make out with Jim Morrison and do other things with him before I was, you know, I was still a virgin. Hooked up with him. But he's a pretty good one, even though he didn't.
That is a huge start. I'm not a giant Doors fan, but of the people I know that are at home going, I can't believe she had
Morrison. Did this take place at his home or wherever he was living or your
this
place?
This took place at the Kaleidoscope, which is a big club. It was. It's
it
on
was.
Sunset and Vine, and I don't know what it is now. It's Nickelodeon or something. I don't know what it is now.
Might be Mood. No, it's all.
It was the Moulin Rouge in the early days.
It's also
days.
What I call my junk.
Put
your eye into the peephole and turn it.
The Doors were about to go on, and he took me upstairs where a bunch of old equipment was kind of rusting away, and we just
rolled. That was Mick Jagger.
That's
no,
Danny's
that was Jim Morrison. Oh. Okay, well, then Mick Jagger.
Wow.
Ray Davies, we didn't do the whole thing, but
Kinks, yeah.
And Frank Zappa is always on my list too, but he was just my mentor. He produced my all girl band, and I lived at his house. I was a governess for him. But
I have a statement and a question.
Okay.
One is when you hear your name and I'm with the band, you would think a certain age area. You look, and maybe you would think Road Hard, Put Away Wet. I'm sorry to be rude, but you look fabulous.
Well,
you're beautiful.
Thank you, Danny. I work hard at it. I do yoga.
That's
I have
working.
Facials. You know, and I eat raw vegetarian for many years.
Was Kate Hudson's character based on you in Almost Famous?
Yes, me and two other girls. Cameron Crowe is in my newest book. He gave me an interview because I was so angry at him for not including me in any way in that production because that girl is so obviously playing me.
Yeah, right. Kate Hudson even looks a little like you.
She told me she was playing me.
Well, how does the story work? Where are you from? When do you get involved with the lifestyle? So on and so forth.
I was a child when I got into Elvis and
vice versa.
And got, I wish, and got moved in all kinds of new ways. And I was only like 8 years old, but then, you know, I was the perfect ripe royal age to be a Beatlemaniac. And then, of course, as I got hornier, the Stones came along and Mick Jagger became number one on my list. And I just was, it just, music just moved me from the earliest stage.
Was there a point where you looked at the calendar, you knew a certain band was coming to town, you knew you could sleep with one of the members of the band,
well,
and then you had a pecking
sleeping
order
with them.
Sure,
it was. I had relationships with them.
I did.
People. Wait, how can you? What
well,
is a span
that
in the room?
Many. I bet you've been with many more people than I have.
I bet you're right.
Because I had to fill out a form at rehab, I stopped counting officially at 512.
Oh wow! Way past me.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Oh, I thought you'd been with like thousands of people.
No, I've been with under 100 people.
Really?
It's just that never most that in a million of the people I've been
under
with
100 people in one evening.
No!
Physically
it was
under.
On the same day.
Under the guy.
But I know, I have a friend of mine, it's actually one of my wife's best girlfriends, that casually mentioned in casual conversation, she goes, oh, I've probably been, I don't know, a couple hundred guys.
Oh yeah, I know a lot of girls.
She's a regular girl.
Oh no, I know. I know a lot of girls who with 400 or 500 guys. Mm-hmm. But I was very picky.
Well, you pick some good ones, but one rock star is worth 100 guys.
She was going for the big game, and that's because she's got a big dart. I mean, I think if you're going after Jimi Hendrix, you have to be the hottest of all the groupies.
Well, Jimi Hendrix came after me. See, this is what people don't realize. How did you meet these people? I just happened to be pretty darn cute.
Right.
And in the right time, in the right places, all the time.
Right.
And Jimi Hendrix actually hit on me, and I was a 16-year-old virgin, and I just could not go there.
He was
so much bigger than life, probably. In fact, I've seen his cast, Cynthia Plastercaster.
Yeah, Plastercaster.
I just couldn't.
Well, who did you go there with? Because we talked about. We got into it. Who else?
Noel Redding from the Hendrix Experience. I did wind up with him. See, I love the skinny little Englishman.
With
that's
crazy
what I love.
Hair.
And you know, I don't. God, who else? I can't even remember right now.
Please, remember.
No. Waylon Jennings.
Waylon Jennings.
That's a good one.
Well, I got into country music through Graham Parsons. Chris Hillman was my big love, and the Burrito Brothers and the Birds and everything. And I got very friendly with Graham Parsons, and he turned me on to country music. And Waylon was hot stuff. He was a big, manly man. It was way out of my realm, but I wanted him. And
here's a question for you, because we had this woman on who wrote, she used to work for the National Enquirer, and she wrote a book, and one of the big stories she broke was about Don Johnson. Remember this,
what
Adam?
What was the story about?
She had some story, again, it's the National Enquirer story, not mine, but about him.
He sued them twice and won.
Him,
right.
He went.
Don Johnson sued
them. He was in San Francisco filming
Nash Bridges.
And the story was that he went into a couple of allegedly adult stores and bought some things,
hardcore male porn.
Kind of stuff that got used on guys. I guess that was her angle.
You know,
anybody bust anything
he's
out?
He's a very free spirit.
Well, forget about him. I want to know about Waylon.
She was with Don.
Don was my boyfriend. We lived together.
Oh, Don. Oh,
yeah,
we're
that's
old.
Why I'm asking
oh,
her.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, see? She's not only with the musician. So, you dated him for a while.
Musician. Hey, when I met him, he was a great singer.
He can
guitar
make music
player.
With that butt plug. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh my God!
Like playing the jugs or spoons or something.
playing the jugs.
You were with Don Johnson for how long?
Almost a year. We lived together, and then he met Melanie Griffith. She was 14 at the time. It seemed like all these young girls
healthy.
Were always usurping my spot.
She was 14.
Oh, Jimmy Page, we left out. Oh my God!
How can you leave out a guy that plays his guitar with a violin bow? That's you can't forget that guy.
He has a boyfriend too.
I love the stories where Elvis meets the chick when she was 13, but then we're supposed to believe they just hung out platonically for 5 years.
Yeah.
Or Don Johnson meets Melanie Griffith. She's 14, but
They weren't platonic. No.
Yeah, they hang out. No, you're.
Well, how old was he at the time when she was 14?
22.
No.
And I was 23. I mean, it's not like he was an old guy.
When you're 22? Supposed to be out of college or your senior year of college and you're dating a ninth grader, that's a bad guy. That means you're a bad guy.
Did you meet Melanie at the time?
Oh, we were all best friends. You know, we were all hippies. Even when he left me for her, of course he wanted both of us, but I didn't do that. I stayed friends with him. You know.
Well, the new book, Let's Spend the Night Together, is a compilation of stories.
Yes, this is not about me. This book is about other groupie girls through the ages, from Elvis to now, Kurt Cobain to now. You know, mm-hmm. Because groupies will always exist. Groupies have been, you know, from time immemorial.
Mm-hmm.
Way, and first time a guy stepped on a stage, there was a girl.
That's
down
why
there
he stepped on it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Right on.
Yeah,
that's exactly it. And they want the groupies around. People, you know, groupies have a bad rap, and it's just because everyone's jealous of them, because they get to go where everybody else wants to be, backstage, on the jets, hanging out, for the most part. Some of them, you know, do things that other people wouldn't
right.
do.
See, now,
but not all of them.
I have a line with you on that, a line where I wonder where it crosses. There mm-hmm. is, say you're a groupie, and you're not taking that as a derogatory term, which I would. Mm-hmm. But let's say you're a groupie and that's your thing and you're on the private jet and you're cool.
Yes.
What about the groupie that does something with the doorman and then the road manager
yes.
to get to the guy in the band? Is there, that a bad groupie? Is that a slut?
She could be called a slut. I mean, but most groupies and the girls in this book don't do that. They find other ways to meet the bands, and you know, a lot of them now, you know, get into the industry and the business somehow. They do what you're doing, or they become a journalist.
I would have a serious conversation if I was the lead front man of a band to the guy who watched a door and my bouncer and the road whatever.
Yeah.
I would have serious like look, I don't want any sloppy thirds. I don't want the chick.
Yeah, you get them on the way out.
Yeah, here's what we'll do. I'm going to issue you guys vouchers.
Oh, my gosh.
Nice.
You will get to redeem those vouchers for oral sex. Let her in. Let me and her have sex. Then she can give you.
Well, how do you know who she was with
the night before? Prorate
the
oral.
Come on.
I'm just saying. I don't want my doorman getting oral.
Right. But you know what you should do also, since you are now, I'm going to assume we'll make you Elvis because I was going to call you King. So all now right. we're going to advance, but you're now going to be Elvis. What you got to do is, the voucher thing is brilliant, but you've got to make them in diminished capacity. Mm-hmm. Like, you hand out one for oral if the guy's doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't like the guy that much and he's just barely pulling his own way, you just hand out a handy. Mm-hmm. This is all you get, mister. Mm-hmm. And then when a kiss on the cheek, ha ha.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, do your job if you want some good stuff.
I would put it on a wheel and spin it just so we could have fun.
The wheel of groupie. And actually attach the groupie to it.
Well, hey, come on. There are all levels of groupies. There are groupies like you're talking about.
Right.
And then there are groupies who marry the guys.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen that many times.
I mean, you could argue that Courtney Love was a groupie.
Oh, she
was. She wouldn't argue.
Yeah, she admitted it. She probably would not say it now, but when I interviewed her for Interview Magazine one time. And she totally admitted being a groupie and loving the GTOs and, you know, my all-girl groupie groups.
Motley Crue does a song, it might be Girls, 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 I'm not sure, and he says, it was at the Tropicana Where I Lost My Heart, is a line in it.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to him, when he sings it live, he sings it was the Tropicana Where I Lost My House, because he married one of the dancers and she took all his dough.
Pamela,
groupies are sweet, wonderful girls who love music. Basically.
Until you cross them and they take all your stuff and write a book.
Necessary evil, I would argue.
Yeah, me too.
Pamela Daybar.
Pamela Daybar. Dude, she's as famous as some of the Axie Bones.
That's true.
Good, you didn't take offense.
Hasbone.
Thank you.
Hasbone. I'm a former groupie.
I'm a Hasbone. When your biggest credit is the Partridge Family, you're a Hasbone and you just have to learn to live with it.
Let's Spend the Night Together is the name of the book. It is out as we speak in stores now. Thank you. And as your people would say, Mazel Tov T.
Yes.
The news coming up.
That's right. If you missed the Flava Flav roast, I'll have the highlights.
We'll do that. Oh, yeah. That was Sunday night. It was last night. I think I TiVo'd it. We'll do that next.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
Yep. All right. A woman makes an alarming discovery. Coming up, we'll show you how she was declared dead. Wait until you hear how long it went on and how she finally found out.
Another great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
All right, T-Bone.
Yeah.
I know your news is going to be better than that, baby doll. Let's hear it.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Flava Flav enjoyed his very own Comedy Central roast last night. Here, comedian and roast master Jeffrey Ross takes it to him.
Flav, when white people watch your show, they say that guy's hilarious. When black people watch your show, they say, I hope no white people are watching this right now. Let's face it, Flav, you sent African Americans back 20 years, and you sent Viking Americans back 850 years. All of Flavor of Love, girls, give it up for the hot ghetto mess up in here tonight. Yeah. Delicious, Safari, the lovely lady who crapped on the rug. Flav was confused by that. He thought she was giving birth to his child.
Well, now he crossed the line.
How about your friend Jimmy Kimmel?
Oh, my God, I didn't even get that till now.
Oh,
the line
very
gets
graphic.
Wow.
Yeah. The line gets even more crossed, arguably, when Jimmy Kimmel discusses Flav's parenting skills.
Flavor Flav is responsible for more homeless black children than Hurricane Katrina.
There's more.
No, that's good.
It gets worse.
At the end of the night tonight, we're going to hold you down and give you a vasectomy, just for the good of the human race. Chris Benoit is a better father than Flavor Flav.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The wrestler who killed his kids.
Yes, but I just got that too. Thank you for helping out on that one. Damn.
How about friend of the show and beautiful queen of mean, Lisa Lampanelli?
We're here tonight to roast Flavor Flav. If Flavor Flav was any smaller and darker, Brad and Angelina would try to adopt him.
At least, if you're listening to these guys be that funny and you're going, what's so funny about Carolla, Strasser, and Bonaducci? They had time.
Yes.
Okay, I would
have
said that
to prepare.
That's just some funny stuff right there.
I love the roast. I love the format. Yeah. I don't even like jokes, but I love jokes like in the form of the roast.
Yeah.
I love it in that format.
Well, you don't have to be funny, apparently, or that smart if you're very, very pretty. According to a new survey, and of course this is fairly intuitive.
Yeah.
Thanks.
We had a fat pig covered in festering boils pretend that her Jeep had broken down by the side of the road. We hid a camera in a mailbox. Let's see how much help she gets from passing motorists. Now, you see the clock ticking in the lower right-hand corner of the screen. 22 minutes goes by before an officer stops and helps her. Meanwhile, none of the public has stopped. All right, now we'll do the same experiment using Pam Anderson, nude. 4 seconds was the average time it took a male to stop and offer. Yes, that's how it works. When you're hot, you get things. When you're not, you don't.
Beautiful people get 12% more money for the same job than ugly people, according to a study by the University of California at San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
So, if an unattractive person is making $60,000 a year, a beautiful person would arguably make $67,200 a year for the same job. And if you're thinking, wow, I'm okay looking, this doesn't affect me, they found that beautiful people also make more than people who are moderately attractive.
Mm-hmm.
They're not 100% sure why this happens, but they have a theory.
Let's hear it.
Yeah.
Here's their theory. They did. They asked a lot of questions along the way to discovering this, and they found that attractive people are thought to be 39% more helpful than ugly
That's
people.
That's not where I saw that going.
When you look at a picture of somebody beautiful, or when you see somebody beautiful, you assume that they're going to be helpful to you. I don't know why the brain does that, but that's
untrue.
What it does.
When I see a hot chick, I think worthless for anything other than using as a coaster.
And I
for
think
my
when I see
scrotum.
An extraordinarily handsome man, I think I could kick his ass because he'd be afraid of getting hurt to the face.
I don't want a scrotum ring on my coffee table, so I would appreciate
no,
it if you would
do
use
not.
A coaster.
We don't
Thank
leave
you.
A ring, we leave lines.
Now hold on a second.
It's a map of the Rockies we leave on your coffee table.
I'm no scientist, but I can tell you why beautiful people make more money than unattractive people, other than the part where people give them opportunities.
Right.
Right.
Here's how it works. we as a society respond quite favorably to personal momentum. When we meet somebody who feels like they not only should get the job, they deserve it.
Right.
We buy into it most of the time.
Yeah.
Many successful people are just successful narcissists who've been able to convince those around them to love them as much as they love themselves. When you meet a man or woman who's attractive, well, there's a good chance that their self-esteem is a little bit better than the chick who couldn't get a date for the prom.
The world has been kinder.
So when they enter the job interview, well, they enter like they're going to get it versus, oh, please pick me. Please pick little old ugly pockmarked me. They have a momentum. And when it comes time to promote somebody, it's easier to promote the person who feels like they were going to get promoted and would be disappointed if they didn't, rather than the person that would be shocked if they did get promoted. Right. So good looking people have a sort of it's self-esteem. It's a personal momentum. It's something that we buy into, that we love.
Yeah.
I mean, we were just talking about Tyra Banks. Dane Cook has this. There's a lot of celebrities that have this, which is there's so much momentum and so much positive thinking to the way they feel about themselves. We all just kind of get in line and buy into it. We just slide in behind them. I think that's what takes the good-looking people to the extra 12% in the paycheck.
I would agree, and I would also add in tall people, because there's a book called Blink, and he reports that of all the Fortune 500 companies, at the time of the publication of the book Blink, out of those 500 Fortune 500 companies, all but two of the CEOs were over 6 feet tall.
Mm. And what you don't realize as well, when people feel very good about themselves, you don't want to give them bad news. There's two guys. There's a little old Bert over there who's short and fat and balding, and was short and fat and balding in high school and feels like he's crap rolled up in a paper plate. And then there's Kevin. He's tall. He's slender. Everything goes his way. Now, there's a promotion. One of them's going to get promoted. You don't want to tell Kevin.
Right.
Because Kevin will be like, dude, you are making a mistake. I am the best thing that's ever happened to this company. And as a matter of fact, one day you're going to be working for me, and I'm going to remember that. Whereas you go talk to fat, bald Bert, and he's like, oh, sorry, you want another coffee? I understand. People who are ugly have crappy self-esteem oftentimes, thus take disappointment in stride.
But the setup of that story, I wonder if you harbor a secret resentment against me that you don't share out loud. Because the story really was about tall, handsome people. You could have been talking about an astronaut and not been further away from me.
Well, that's just how you see yourself. Certainly, okay, you're maybe not tall.
I don't happen to see myself at 5'6".
But you're a handsome
guy. There's measuring tapes.
You're a good-looking guy with a... Come on.
A lot of scars and a nose that belts to the right now.
Over 500 women were stupid enough to sleep with you, Bonaduce. You must be doing something right.
Yeah, I have a wad full of money.
You're so ugly you could be a modern art masterpiece.
I think you're very handsome.
I did, now I have half a wad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's somebody who was really hard up for sex, not like you, who could have basically any woman he wanted. But this guy could only have a goat. 63-year-old man. He used to work at a place called Pioneer Farm Museum in Eatonville, Washington. He was fired because a coworker walked in on him allegedly having sex with a goat. He was arrested and charged with first-degree felony animal cruelty. Last week, he was in court, and he pleaded not guilty because, he says, this whole thing is a misunderstanding. He was not having his way with the goat. He was simply milking it.
Inside the glory hole.
Mm-hmm. The goat was milking him?
He was milking the goat.
He was milking the goat.
Not having sex
from the interior.
Unclear how the milking process worked.
Now, I'm going to tell you something that's a little bit disturbing, but here's the deal.
Mm-hmm. And now you're going to tell me something disturbing?
Now is when it gets disturbing. This man, Arthur Lawton, the 63-year-old who's with the goat, is the second person, only the second person in Washington State who's been charged with felony animal cruelty, which is what they call the legalese for bestiality there.
Can I just say this quickly? When you've been charged for trying to F a goat, you should officially go from Arthur to maybe Artie.
Just right to
Arthur
Artie.
Sounds a little too regal.
Too fancy.
A little yeah. highfalutin to a guy who's been brought up on effing, you know, tax evasion? Stick with Arthur.
Right.
You built your Fortune 500 company out of tons of money that you then shifted into an account in the Cayman Islands. Stick with Arthur.
No.
You I'm tried good. To F a goat at work?
Artie.
We'll downgrade you to Artie.
Okay, by the way, it's only a letter away. Listen.
Yeah.
Arthur, the goat slayer. Artie, the goat layer. Totally, one letter off, boom, you know what they're up to.
I think you're right. Well, here's why he's only the second guy charged. It wasn't on the books before Artie and this other guy started having sex with animals. Bestiality was not banned in the state until last year when the state legislature passed a law making it illegal. Why did they have to pass this law? A man was killed while receiving bestial relations from a horse. And the bestiality pimp who set this up couldn't be charged with a felony because at that time, bestiality wasn't illegal in the state. Now it is, and now Artie may be in a little trouble. Although, if he can convince a jury that he was just milking that goat, he gets off.
You know what, though? I have found, and maybe they've changed this because I've seen some stuff on the news recently that makes it a little more harsh, but it seems like in most states up until very, very, very recently, you could do the most horrifying things to an animal and be charged with a misdemeanor.
I'll tell you what I would do if I was in charge. I would have a whole bunch of rules that weren't on the book. Just one rule that just called no S. No
right.
duh.
Yeah.
No S Sherlock.
Right.
That is anything where you take 10 very sensible, even-keeled, even-minded people and they go, oh my God, that's disgusting. That guy should be locked up for 1,000 years. That'll fall because we can't possibly sit down and say, if you take a donkey on a hang glider and receive oral from it over international waters, you can't. We can't think. We don't have a great. Our imagination is not good enough to think of every bizarre act you can come up with. So just one page that says, no duh. Well, you violated the no duh ordinance.
How about this then? We make the penal code, which is, let's say, 750 pages.
Mm-hmm.
Let's now make it 1,500 pages, but the last 750 are blank and come with a Sharpie.
We get to write
it as they go.
Piece of yarn tied onto a Sharpie.
Okay. I like that. I'm Teresa Strasser. I support the no duh ordinance, and that's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
Two quick thoughts. First off, if you are going to F a goat on the job, I'm the guy you want to walk in on you.
Why?
Because you will not be reported.
What?
There's no way I would even begin to think about having that conversation with my supervisor.
But what about the goat?
I had lamb chops last night. I don't care. I'm going to open the door. I'm going to see you getting busy with a goat.
Right.
I'm going to close the door, and I'm going to continue walking.
Okay, this is where you and I differ. I would look at the guy and go, dude, what's that like? What's that like? What made you think to do that? Because what do you do? If you see a guy with, like, one arm, do you say something to
him? No. I'll tell you what you would do, Bonaducci, and it's the same thing I might want to do. A week later, when we're both belly up to the vending machine, and I'm getting my Snickers bar out, and he's getting his Three Musketeers, I casually say, how's it goat? And he says, very defensively, what? What? And I say, you know what I'm talking about. Now let's remember it. Next time you want to tell the boss I was 10 minutes late. And we just let it go. We just let it go at that. And that's it. But I would never, ever rat the guy out. I would be too embarrassed to even have the conversation. And the second quick thought is,
I don't believe you.
Brian, I know. Then you're the guy who cried goat.
Goat.
Right.
I think you should say, when people narc on me for being late, that really gets my
goat.
Oh, nice. Nice goat tea.
The other thing I was thinking about was the guy who was killed when he's trying to F the horse would be a nice reenactment.
Awful.
What happened to Larry? Oh, he died. What happened? Well, he was thrown from a horse. He rode horses. Kind
of. I'm about to see that tomorrow.
All right. Yeah. Then we'll do a little reenactment about that tomorrow. Could you imagine? Imagine. Ooh. look, when somebody dies, you have to notify a whole bunch of people. Sure. And the very first question from the whole bunch of people, the family, the co-workers, the guys who went to
Mr.
church.
Mr. Thompson, this is your son's supervisor down at the plants.
Yeah. He's dead. Real? My God, what happened? An accident?
No.
Well...
Something tells me it wasn't.
The act itself was premeditated, but there was an accident within the act. No one could have seen that horseshoe coming in his forehead.
Because everybody wants you to say, oh, he went in his sleep. Well, no, he wasn't sleeping.
Just when you bring the horse up part, it's like, fell off the horse? Nope. Trampled by horses? Nope.
Just
bucked by a... Nope.
Close. Place one letter.
It rhymed with buck.
He didn't actually fall off a horse. He actually fell on a horse.
Think of it this way. He died doing what he loved.
Right. All right. Enough.
Or who he loved.
Enough said. We'll take a quick break. Back with Prisoner David. An actual person who's incarcerated for about another 100 years. We'll talk to Prisoner David next. How's it going today?
Well, it's okay. It's a sunny day out here, and it's beautiful. Everything's cool. Mm-hmm. Nothing going on in the yard today. It's all good.
Did you eat breakfast?
Yes.
And what'd you eat?
Same thing. S.O.S.
S on a shingle.
Yeah, wow. Always the same stuff.
I got to tell you, the food I ate in prison once when we did a man show bit, they had literally... green colored congealed gravy product that was some of the worst stuff I'd ever seen in my life.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. I eat this every day, man.
And what do you do for exercise?
Well, I usually run around the track or play a little handball.
Mm-hmm.
If the tennis courts are open, I'll try to play a little game of tennis.
Tennis?
Yeah.
That's what he said, man. He said it last time, too.
I never remember the tennis court part. I always think of hoops and weights and running and maybe throwing a ball around, but I never think of prisoners playing tennis.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool. They provide the rackets, too, and the balls.
Well, look, when you're in the joint, they provide everything, right?
Yeah. Everything, yeah. Even the little futon mat.
You're heading down there, you got a sweater tied around your neck.
Right, San Quentin open.
I'm about to get into some tap dancing classes. They got some classes that they're offering.
Really?
Yeah, seriously.
Tap? I'd go modern or jazz, but all right. Well, you go tap.
What kind of physical condition are you in?
I'm pretty good. I'm like kind of like you, man. I seen your body on Mad TV one time. I'm kind of like you. I got
Damn,
a
with a shirt off?
Yeah, wow. The reason I ask is because Sammy Davis Jr. said, and he's a little guy, and Michael Jackson said something very similar, that they lost between 13 and 20 pounds of water weight per show.
Tap dancing.
Tap dancing or Michael Jackson's moonwalking and all that dancing, but yeah.
Wow.
Just Sammy Davis, just tap dancing.
That's amazing.
Well, the 13 pounds Michael Jackson lost was putting down a 3-year-old. He just set him down. Yes.
Speaking of Jackson, did you guys see that Thriller video on YouTube with all the prisoners dancing a Thriller?
Yeah.
Is that
popular in jail?
Oh, no. There's nothing like that happening. But that'd be cool, though, if we get something like that going on here.
Well, do you guys get to check out the internet?
No, we don't. Unfortunately, we have no internet access, but we see the stuff on television, though. We got television.
Right. Mm-hmm. They play a clip of the YouTube.
Exactly.
Now, they don't want you monkeying around on the internet, or how does it work? They want you communicating with other folks out on the outside?
Well, see, like take, for instance, okay, there was a guy here, like an ex-con. He was from India, okay, and he does web design. As soon as he got out, I says, hey, man, you got to set me up a website when you get out, right? Because we don't have any internet access in here. But I says, I like to put my story, I like to put kind of like my profile on the internet, get some pen pals or something.
Mm-hmm.
He says, sure, I could put something like that together. So he got out. His name was Sadat. Sadat was his name.
Mm-hmm.
And, he actually got out and he set me up a little website so I can get some pen pals and stuff. But unfortunately, he spelled it wrong, man.
Oh.
Yeah, it was jailhouserock.com, but he spelled it jailhouseroq.com. He couldn't spell, man. I couldn't believe this. He could design websites, but he can't spell.
What was the Indian guy in for?
I didn't want to ask. Man. I thought I saw him on Predators or something. I don't know.
Oh, yes.
I've heard it's very rude to ask people about their offense.
Yes, it actually is. And you don't want to know sometimes, yeah? What if a guy's in there for something really bad?
Plus, you size...
It's prison. He is in there for something really bad.
Yeah, but then there's bad and bad even within those four walls.
Right.
And... I could see that also you doing the sort of ethnic math. Like, you know, the guy wasn't a gangbanger. You know, the guy probably didn't shoot a cop.
Right.
The Indian guy who's the webmaster.
Yeah.
That guy probably did a To Catch a Predator sort of thing something.
Icky. I think that Moses
Well, you know what I mean. I mean, you're in for shooting a cop. You're in good shape. You're in for feeling up a 9-year-old. You're not.
Exactly. So he gets out, right? And I said, Jailhouse Rock, right? He said, JailhouseRock.com. He goes, Jailhouse Rock. I said, yes, Jailhouse Rock. I get the stuff back. It's spelled ROQ, man. So we had to change the name. We had to go with another name.
Well, how does it work? You set yourself up a website, but you can't get to the website?
Exactly. There's a website right now on the internet, prisonerdavid.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even see it. Imagine that.
Well, hold on. Danny's girlfriend shut it down. It's a story that we were talking about 4 hours ago, but it was funny if you were here.
Those of you that hung with us.
Right.
They know that Danny's MySpace page was shut down by...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, my girlfriend got, like, all jealous, or my ex-girlfriend got all jealous and deleted 22,000 friends.
California Correctional Facility.
12,000 of which I had every intention of sleeping with.
Oh, my God.
Hey, 8,000 which were dudes. Hey, David?
Yes?
So what do you do with your prisonerdavid.com? I mean,
basically, you always encouraged me to write. You said maybe I should write a book in here or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, what kind of book would sell? Probably like maybe a man's guide to masturbation. You know, prisoner.
Sure, that'd fly go off. That's like hotcakes. Yeah.
You need a guide.
Yeah, I figured that would probably work. But then I said, well, geez, you know, how am I going to get the funding to put a book together? So if I put my stuff on the internet, maybe that'll generate some publicity. You know,
what stuff?
I've got lots of stories on there. Anything from Jailhouse Pruno to riots. What's it like to be in a riot? What's it like to be on lockdown? What's it like to have a terrible cellmate? You know, all kinds of stories I've got on there for people to read at prisonerdavid.com. But I've also got on there, what does a riot look like? I've actually got YouTube videos where people can go and check out what a riot looks like.
Well, how do you get any of the funds from this endeavor?
Well, actually, like I said, the Indian guy started off. He was just an ex-con. He didn't charge me nothing. But then once we had to change the name over, I found somebody else that would do it. So it's actually somebody else's pocket. It's not
smart.
Mine.
Smart. Because you make 13 cents an hour?
Yeah, there's no way I could fund it.
That. Yeah, that's... hang on, prisoner David. Yeah. That's the whole thing. Like, if you want to do work for somebody, whether it's paint their house or start them up a website, best to find guys that make at least 22 cents an hour.
Sure.
Yeah.
So that in 1,000 years they could pay you your retainer. It's hard to get money out of people that make 13 cents an hour before taxes.
I'm living on it.
All right. Prisoner Dave, we need to take ourselves a break. Always enlightening.
Always wonderful.
We'll take a break, be back to wrap it up next on the Adam Carolla Show. Well, there you have it. Where'd the time go? Don't know. Probably with the rest of the time. I want to thank Pamela DeBar. Let's spend the night together in bookstores as we speak. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
The best revenge is a dump in the product.